dance for stars. I'm sitting in Jane Mansfield's car. Yeah, yeah. I need to take a shower when I look at you. You singing hurt like a bad tattoo. I wish you'd change my point of view. I cruise the canyon to get some breeze with hidden treasures up my sleeve. I like the light and hate the heat, but I'll lick the blood right off your street. Yeah, yeah.
Make it through. Sometimes I wonder how we can ever make it through.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. A union election is set for February 25th at a Walmart tire and auto service store in Loveland, Colorado. The workers there would be the first Walmart workers in the U.S. to unionize if the United Food and Commercial Workers are successful. Norberto Ricardo is the UFCW organizer in Loveland. He believes the workers will win, but he says Walmart is trying to intimidate its workers into not joining unions. Ricardo says it's important to organize Walmart because it pays very low wages, doesn't provide adequate benefits, and drags down wages of other companies. He would like to see workers exercise their rights to organize without fear.
I would like for all these employees from Walmart to reunite together and not to be afraid and leave the fear somewhere else and go forward with the process to organize and become one union.
Federal employees from the Department of Defense marched on Capitol Hill yesterday in protest of a proposed personnel regulation overhaul. American Federation of Government Employees President John Sweeney told the hundreds of rallying employees that the National Security Personnel System will jeopardize public safety and national security by taking away employee protections that allow workers to speak freely when they see wrongdoing or mismanagement. The AFGE and other unions representing government employees are planning to file a lawsuit. The decision to implement similar changes at the Department of Homeland Security has already led to one lawsuit, saying that the changes undermine the constitutional right of due process. AFGE General Counsel Mark Roth said of the DHS changes in a press release that managers will have free rein to retaliate against employees who challenge management decisions.
New York City's Hudson Yards development has the potential to create thousands of jobs, many of them union jobs, so a coalition of labor and business groups is supporting it. There's opposition, though, from city community groups. Jim Whalen is head of the Hudson Yards Coalition, a labor-led group supporting the development.
What the Hudson Yards plan really represents is a long-term plan that is going to create hundreds of thousands of jobs for New Yorkers on all income levels.
Critics of the development and the sports stadium for the Jets that comes with it say the development is too dense and will cost the city more than $3 billion with an adverse impact on the West Side. Whalen, though, says the stadium and the union jobs it creates is good for New York.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Union membership dropped slightly in 2004. New numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics say that union membership dropped to 12.5% of all workers nationwide. The biggest drops were in Alaska, Illinois, and Missouri, with the major gains being in New York and Minnesota. Almost half of all union membership is concentrated in six states: California, New York, Michigan, Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
Even from the convoluted depths of Lewis Carroll's fertile imagination, where down is up and wrong is right, the Alice in Wonderland author could not have conjured up a scene as bizarre as George W.'s $40 million inaugural extravaganza. Lavish balls, sumptuous gourmet meals, copious champagne brunches, indulgent corporate-sponsored receptions in posh private clubs, a cornucopia of excess for the privileged and connected, dancing in a swirl of political self-congratulation, and in anticipation of political rewards to come for those elites who picked up the $40 million tab. All this unseemly splurging while the loved ones of Americans who are neither privileged nor connected are mired in the deadly mayhem of George W.'s disastrous war in Iraq. One visual summed up the moral divide between those few so gaily dancing the war away in Washington and those many trapped so miserably in the brutal reality of Iraq. It was the recurring scene of stretch Hummer limousines ferrying the resplendent Gucci crowd from one gaudy gathering to the next, while soldiers driving real Humvees had been denied the protective armor that could save their lives. Indeed, $40 million could buy quite a bit of armor. In 1945, when our troops were in another raging war, Franklin Roosevelt rightly insisted on modesty and austerity for his inaugural, even noting in his formal address that it was appropriate, quote, that the form of this inauguration be simple and its words brief. But in the wonderland of Bush world, modesty is no virtue and hubris is to be celebrated. So party down, y'all! This is Jim Hightower saying, there were even special inaugural blowouts for the 20-somethings, including George's own war-age daughters who loudly proclaimed their support for Daddy's war, but not so much that they would join it. In Bush's world, the elites declare war. Other people do the fighting and dying.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Exposes political corruption and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And happy Wednesday. Here we are, Mittwoche. Auf Deutsch, the midweek, the middle day of the week. Halfway through, yes, indeed. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live on radio stations from coast to coast. Streaming around the planet on radiopower.org, on whiterosesociety.org. Cable Radio Network has a web stream as well as in 29 states on web stations, on cable systems. And Sirius Satellite Radio. Did I say that here? Trying to do three things at once here. It's fine. It's great to be back here in the People's Republic. And so much in the news. Where is there a true Republican? We found one! The irony is that he has to leave the Republican Party in order to be one. Stay tuned. Discover why the second largest 3,000-year-old sequoia tree is dying. Learn what lessons the gay penguins at the Bremerhaven Zoo have for the Republican Party. And can you find out why the Republicans consider Brian Williams, the new NBC star, the NBC Evening News? Why do the Republicans call him their go-to guy? What is going on with this stuff? Amazing. Absolutely amazing stuff. Today also Ash Wednesday for the Catholics among us. the day to go to get a little ash cross painted on your forehead. Following, of course, yesterday, Fat Tuesday Mardi Gras. The Mardi Gras, of course, having come out of Lupercalia, celebrating the Roman deity Lupercus, a pastoral god that is a god of crops that was associated with, based on Faunus, which is from which we get the word fauna, and Satyr, S-A-T-Y-R. Those of you who know who he is need no more explanation, and those of you who don't, I'm not going to get into it. And anyhow, this is an old pagan festival, of course, that predated Christianity, so it seemed appropriate, I guess, to the church fathers. This started really around the 10th century, that right after the Lupercalia, right after Mardi Gras was celebrated, that after all that partying and boogieing and whatnot, that it should be appropriate to have 40 days of fasting, the beginning of the Lenten period today. And, in fact, you know, I think it's a great thing. I just have to say, I think it's a great thing. And in Islam, there's, you know, the significant fasting period. In Judaism, of course, there's the weekly, it's not a fasting period, but there's the weekly fasting from the world of Shabbat, of Sabbath. In Christianity, it's not carried so far. It's basically Sunday, you go to church. And I think these are very, very healthy traditions. So I want to tip my hat to that. The folly of the conservatives is fully exposed. The American Progress Action Fund points out. The Bush, we talked about this in some detail yesterday. The details are still coming out, of course. This is a giant book, The Bush Budget. And it is just, you know, step by step coming out, aggressively slashing taxes for the wealthy. Have you noticed what's on the table? What's on the table with this thing is, well, let's see, we can cut education here, here, and here. We can cut veterans benefits here, here, and here. We can cut food stamps over $1 billion. We can cut aid to families in the Northeast, in the blue states. To poor families in the Northeast who need a little help paying for their heating bill, even though ExxonMobil just declared the largest corporate profit in the history of the world, with the other oil companies quickly behind, I mean, you know, following along behind. Huge cuts in domestic spending. Well, in some ways, actually, you could say they're modest because the huge cuts came back during Reagan. Remember when he, for example, all the homeless folks on the street, when Reagan cut funding for mental health services, and they just closed up mental health programs all around the country and said to mostly schizophrenic folks, but, you know, a whole variety of folks having mental illnesses, said, hey, you're on your own. And all of a sudden they appeared in the streets of our cities. I suspect anyone under 40, 45 years old doesn't remember that. That prior to Ronald Reagan, we didn't have homeless people living on our streets. We didn't. Go back and watch one of the old movies. You know, watch the old TV series. Watch Route 66, you know, with Marty Milner. They travel from city to city all across America. Every city has its own personality. Every city has its own restaurants. Every city has its own motels. Every city had its own unique kinds of entertainment, unique accents. All of that, of course, has been homogenized by the mega corporatization of America. Every city now, it's amazing to me how every city now looks like every other city. Amazing to me, I will wake up in a city. This happened to me a few days ago in Palm Springs, California. I will wake up in a city, not altogether certain where I am, you know, those first few minutes. And you just, you have no frame of reference. It's like, where did I have dinner last night? Oh, yeah, Olive Garden. Well, does that mean I'm in Columbus, Ohio again? Does that, maybe it's Houston. No, it's, well, let's see, lunch yesterday. Where did we have lunch? And on it goes. So anyhow, back to what's on the table. What's on the table is, let's see where we can cut. See, once again, this illustrates the difference between the worldview of the conservatives and the liberals. The liberals understand that in order to have a functional democracy and a peaceful world, you must have a middle class that has some semblance of safety and security. This is an understanding that goes back all the way to Thomas Jefferson in the 20th century. The 20th century essentially began with Teddy Roosevelt talking about, the Republican Teddy Roosevelt talking about this, introducing the phrase a living wage. But that's liberal. And in fact, after he got some of those things passed, the Supreme Court in the 19-teens and the 1920s struck them down. Struck down the minimum wage, said it's unconstitutional to have a minimum wage. So the progressives and liberals are of the opinion that if we, the people, collectively want to have programs that we agree to pay for, that we agree will take care of us at some level, and I'm not talking about communism or socialism here. I'm not talking about the government getting in the business of business. That's a terrible mistake. I am not talking about corporations saying, okay, we're going to produce goods. We're going to manage the distribution services. We're going to highly regulate the economy. No. But if we have decided we would like to know that a major illness is not going to wipe us out, as we see now with 1.46 million bankruptcies last year, 53% of them caused by medical bills. And of those caused by medical bills, more than half of those were with people who had full insurance. But the insurance companies have all these nice little scams. Anyhow, what's on the table and what's not on the table? What's not on the table? What is not on the table is cutting back the tax breaks to the very wealthy. That is not on the table. What's on the table? This is voodoo economics all over again, my friends. Why is it that we're having a debate that nobody's even asking the question in the mainstream media? Why isn't Chris Matthews asking this question? Why isn't Brian Williams asking this question? Why isn't Dan Rather asking? Where is Ted Koppel? Why aren't these folks saying, Judy Woodruff, Wolf Blitzer, why are they not? About the only one who even comes close is the Republican, Lou Dobbs. Why aren't they asking the question? What has happened to, why aren't we discussing, why isn't it part of the discussion, Bush's tax cuts for the rich? When you look out over the event horizon, over the 75-year event horizon for Social Security, you see a $3.5 trillion shortfall coming. During that same period, just the first year of Bush's tax cuts for the rich, $7.5 trillion. Twice what would be necessary to solve all the problems of Social Security. Why are we asking our soldiers to take cutbacks? Why are we cutting the Veterans Administration? Why are we asking our soldiers to pay more for medication? Why are we putting a $250 entrance fee into medical programs for our veterans so that the most poor, the largely homeless veterans among us, and there's a startling number of them, because war is psychologically amazingly damaging. The average American has no idea. Just seeing a dead body is a shocking thing that you will never forget. A body that has been killed by violence. Watching a person die by violence is something that you take to your grave. Why are we cutting back on funding for these programs? Why are we telling the corporations everything's fine? No cuts there. $150 billion a year in corporate welfare. But we're going to slash $1 billion from food stamps. The new welfare queens have corporate jets, you know. Why is this? Well, this is the divide. This is, just speaking very honestly and candidly, this is the divide. It doesn't mean right or wrong or bad or good. I mean, everybody has their opinion about it. I think the conservative worldview when it is put forward in a doctrinaire fashion and is forced on the American people with lies and deceptions, I think that that's bad. I think that that's evil by definition. And they're using lies and deceptions to promote this. But I think if they were to simply be honest about it, the way William F. Buckley used to be back in the 60s and 70s when he had his old PBS TV show Firing Line, and he'd sit there and he'd say, well, you know, is it really the role of government to make sure that when someone falls into poverty, they are taken care of? It's a legitimate debate. There are some people who don't think it's the role of government. And, you know, I respect their opinion. But these guys are taking that position, but they're not doing it honestly and openly. And that is what's so incredibly dangerous, so incredibly destructive about this entire budget process. This is the star of the beast. You do the tax cuts to throw government into a disaster, and then you say, well, we got to clean up the disaster by getting rid of the social programs. It's the dishonest way of doing it. It's the Frank Luntz, Newt Gingrich, George W. Bush dishonest way of doing it, rather than simply right up front honestly saying, hey, we think Social Security is socialism, and Medicare is socialism, Medicaid is socialism, and we're going to get rid of them. Why didn't they just be honest with us 8 years ago? 20 minutes past the hour.
Attention, Tom Hartman listeners. I'm here with Brush Lintball.
This is the old Brush Show, Brush Lintball.
To tell you about DemocraticMatch.com. You're listening to Tom Hartman because you're intelligent, progressive, and like the thousands of members at DemocraticMatch.com, you don't drink right-wing Kool-Aid. Right, Brush?
Right-wing wackos are fine to laugh at on all their radio programs, but no one wants to date one, right?
DemocraticMatch.com is a dating site made specifically for Democrats and other progressive individuals who want to date those with similar worldviews.
What do you think of Democrats these days, Brush?
Democrats are smarter. Democrats are more evolved. Democrats are more fun. Democrats make better lovers. Democrats have better hearts.
This is your chance to meet other liberals who listen to Tom Hartman, people who cherish the principles of our democracy, believe in a woman's right to choose, believe in protecting our incredible planet. In short, DemocraticMatch.com gives you the opportunity to meet a real soulmate. So what have you got to lose? Sign up today at DemocraticMatch.com.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
And now for a traffic update, we go to Kelly Clark. Kelly, how's it looking out there?
Well, if you've got to get anywhere, I hope you have lots of time. Uh-oh. All northbound lanes at the Taylor Interchange are backed up. Westbound lanes are at a standstill, and the off-ramp near the Martin Building remains closed, causing major headaches.
Not good.
But I do have good news.
What's that, Kelly?
I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Do you have a child with ADHD who is misunderstood, unhappy, and dissatisfied with school? Are you ready for an educational change and for your child to like school again? Consider The Hunter School, a residential K-8 school specializing in the education of children with ADHD, hunters in a farmer's world. Hunter School appreciates and honors the uniqueness of each student while building upon his inherent strengths and abilities. For more information, find us on the web at hunterschool.org.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I am more than ever convinced, said Martin Van Buren, President of the United States from 1837 to 1841, in his second State of the Union address. I am more than ever convinced of the dangers to which the free and unbiased exercise of political opinion, the only sure foundation and safeguard of Republican government, would be exposed by any further increase of the already overgrown influence of corporate authorities. Our quote for the day from President Martin Van Buren, 1838. His annual address to Congress, his State of the Union speech, they call it today. Welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-889-8894 is our telephone number, tomhartman.com, our website, if you want to drop in. We just changed the picture on the home page of the chat room. It used to be a picture of me when I was 17 years old, which was a pretty funky picture. And so we replaced it with a picture of Louise and I shaking hands with Pope John Paul II from a couple of years ago. We'll rotate the pictures as they go. Anyhow, welcome back to our program. Paul in Santa Fe, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Paul, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. Hopefully this dovetails a little bit into what you were talking about. But in the 1800s and I guess the early 1900s, there was the company store, you know, as far as workers working in mines and different industries,
yeah,
where they were in effect, they had to buy all their basic goods and services from the company they worked for.
Well, very often it wasn't so much that they had to because it was a company policy. They had to because they were relatively physically isolated. I mean, there are still companies that operate company stores. There are government agencies that have company stores. I've been in them. There are companies that have, their own cafeterias, and sometimes they sell clothing and other junk. The PX is, of course, the company stores for the military. But anyhow, your point.
But in effect, it was taken out of their wages, so they were unable to really save any money.
Yes, go ahead.
Sort of a similar thing going on now as far as monopolies and where we're forced, working people are being, basically they're not able to save money at all because the whole economic system is similar to a company store.
The United States has become the company store, in other
words. Yes, yes.
Yeah, and so many of these things are mandated. For example, you must buy car insurance from one of these for-profit companies. You can argue that that's a desirable thing. Should we be regulating it? Should we be participating in it? Here in the state of Vermont, they passed some regulations that said car insurance companies can't rip you off. You move into the state with Geico insurance, they will dump you. It's happened to me. It happened to my brother-in-law. And, I called up the insurance commissioner and said, what's the deal? And they said, well, we get a lot of complaints about that company. And I'd love to have somebody from that company come on and, tell their side of the story. At what point has it just completely gone nuts? At what point have we allowed absolutely unrestrained capitalism/business to take over to the point that there's only fragments and figments of democracy left? I would say we are already at that edge with regard to our media. First of all, you got Brian Williams now, the Republicans calling him the go-to guy. Frank Luntz issuing a memo. This is the guy that we need to go to get our message out. Brian Williams saying that he thinks it's his obligation to listen to Rush Limbaugh every day? listens to him in the office. He's now doing the NBC Evening News. Pretty strange stuff. Pretty strange stuff. Paul, thanks for the call and for your comments. Do appreciate it. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894. We've got a Vicodin alert, a Rush alert coming up right after this break here in just a moment. Strange stuff going on among the Reich wing nuts. Strange stuff. Hannity coming up with inventing new things. A new prison alert. We haven't caught you doing something right from a real Republican. Many entertaining things. It's the Tom Hartman program.
A party at Ed's house. Okay. Will Ed's parents be there? Then the answer is no.
Making sure an adult's there isn't easy.
No, his brother being there isn't the same.
But if you don't, your kid's more likely to do drugs.
No, I don't care if he is old for his age.
Do it. It'll always be worth it. Parents, the anti-drug. To learn more, call 1-800-788-2800 or visit theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for Drug-Free America.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. A union election is set for February 25th at a Walmart tire and auto service store in Loveland, Colorado. The workers there would be the first Walmart workers in the U.S. to unionize if the United Food and Commercial Workers are successful. Norberto Ricardo is the UFCW organizer in Loveland. He believes the workers will win, but he says Walmart is trying to intimidate its workers into not joining unions. Ricardo says it's important to organize Walmart because it pays very low wages, doesn't provide adequate benefits, and drags down wages of other companies. He would like to see workers exercise their rights to organize without fear.
I would like for all these employees from Walmart to reunite together and not to be afraid and leave the fear somewhere else and go forward with the process to organize and become one union.
Federal employees from the Department of Defense marched on Capitol Hill yesterday in protest of a proposed personnel regulation overhaul. American Federation of Government Employees President John Sweeney told the hundreds of rallying employees that the National Security Personnel System will jeopardize public safety and national security by taking away employee protections that allow workers to speak freely when they see wrongdoing or mismanagement. The AFGE and other unions representing government employees are planning to file a lawsuit. The decision to implement similar changes at the Department of Homeland Security has already led to one lawsuit, saying that the changes undermine the constitutional right of due process. AFGE General Counsel Mark Roth said of the DHS changes in a press release that managers will have free rein to retaliate against employees who challenge management decisions.
New York City's Hudson Yards development has the potential to create thousands of jobs, many of them union jobs, so a coalition of labor and business groups is supporting it. There's opposition, though, from city community groups. Jim Whalen is head of the Hudson Yards Coalition, a labor-led group supporting the development.
What the Hudson Yards plan really represents is a long-term plan that is going to create hundreds of thousands of jobs for New Yorkers on all income levels.
Critics of the development and the sports stadium for the Jets that comes with it say the development is too dense and will cost the city more than $3 billion with an adverse impact on the West Side. Whalen, though, says the stadium and the union jobs it creates is good for New York.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Union membership dropped slightly in 2004. New numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics say that union membership dropped to 12.5% of all workers nationwide. The biggest drops were in Alaska, Illinois, and Missouri, with the major gains being in New York and Minnesota. Almost half of all union membership is concentrated in six states: California, New York, Michigan, Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Don't give up, you got a reason to No, never give up. You know, I'm convinced DNA is imprinted. I'm sorry, democracy is imprinted in our DNA. 230 years of democracy in this country, more or less. We haven't always done it right. There was slavery. Women couldn't vote. I mean, certainly we've screwed up a fair number of times. A phony war in Vietnam with the Gulf of Tonkin resolution and whatnot. But nonetheless, through all that time, we've held up this ideal of democracy, of a government of, by, and for we the people. And I just don't think the cons are going to be able to take it away as fast as they think they are. I really, really don't. 1-866, our toll-free number, 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number, Bob in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, presumably listening on, WPTT?
Tom?
Yeah.
Tom, I've never in my life called a talk show before, but I'm listening to you. You're very well informed. You're clear, articulate. You're one of the best. I totally agree, and I thank you.
Oh, well, thank you, Bob.
Very I mean kind every
words.
Word.
Very kind words. Did you have a topic or an issue that you wanted to get into?
No, you've covered all the topics. And, of course, I read the New York Times daily, and you're right there alongside them in their views and so forth. And it's just wonderful to hear someone articulate so well. A lot of people talk, and they mean well, but they don't give you the facts as clearly as you do. You mentioned Buchanan. I didn't know that, but it's wonderful. And
Van Buren.
Yeah, or Van Buren, yeah. You don't use any extra words. It's just all that is needed is said.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Bob. I hope we can hold to your high standards.
I'm sure you will.
We'll do our best. Thanks a lot for the call.
Sure,
good
bye.
To hear from you. Yeah, it's always nice to have a little flattery. I suppose there's limits to it. But very, very nice to hear. Anyhow, let's move along to our Rush alert for the day.
Condescending tribes making money selling lies. You might say everybody hates my guts.
Our Rush alert theme music.
I'm a bigot. I'm a fraud. Can you dig it? I'm a sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic cuts.
And now we find the liberals doing what they always do, and I've told you this. They always try to give me 50 milligrams of Vicodin instead of the 80s.
I'm a Nazi. He's a Nazi.
That's right.
Yeah.
I really am, because
I'm a Nazi.
He's
a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class, but I'm a fat conservative butthead with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Yes. Well, hopefully, Bob, that didn't completely unwind your kind words of me. Limbaugh and Hannity distorted Democrats' 1999 remarks to falsely claim they supported private accounts. This from Media Matters for America. Our right-wing alert for the day. Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity in the last couple of days have both lied about what former President Clinton and Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid said back in 1999 to try and twist their words to suggest that these two Democratic politicians were in favor of privatizing Social Security. Now, here's the setup. Back then, back in the 90s, people have known. We've known for some time. I mean, this started in the late 60s. We figured out that there was this thing called the baby boomer generation coming, and that if Social Security didn't start storing up some money in advance, you know, sort of like a rabbit moving through a snake, there was going to be this period, and it wasn't going to last forever, by the way. You get back to 2060, 2070, Social Security is going to be back to the situation that it was in the 50s and 60s and 70s, where it's actually paying for itself. But without any problem. But they saw these boomers coming. This, of course, the result of World War II. Everybody, you know, so many of our young men, well, so many died, unfortunately. I believe we lost about 500,000 Americans. I could be wrong on that, but that number sticks in my head. 500,000 young American men. And so many went off to fight the war. And then came back, got married, settled down. We had extraordinary programs that the Republicans fought tooth and nail because they were socialist programs. The GI Bill that offered a free education, plus all books, plus all course materials, plus $75 a month to help pay for living expenses. Now, in 1945, $75 a month was like maybe $600, $700, $800 a month now. I mean, it was no small amount of money. Might have been more than that. I don't have the old calculator here in front of me. There's a website that graphs this stuff. It may well have been the equivalent of a couple thousand. I frankly wasn't alive in 1945, so I can't draw a direct comparison. I have noticed in my life since the early, I was born in 51, since when I was a little kid, the cost of gumballs has certainly changed. But in any case, so these socialist programs, in quotes, see, I would call them programs of we the people deciding what kind of society we want to live in. Because socialism is technically defined. If you go back to the dictionary, or if you read Karl Marx's Das Kapital, or Marx and Engels' Communist Manifesto, they defined socialism as the government owning the means of production and supply. And it's stupid. It doesn't work. I mean, there's a few things where you want the government to own the means of production and supply. Your fire department, your police department, your army, and your government itself. But that's about it. I don't want the government making my shoes. I don't want the government making the microphone I'm talking on. Or the lights that are illuminating this room here in the People's Republic. You know, there are some conservatives who, and many of them, not a majority, it's probably 10-15% of Americans and libertarians, who really believe that the only function of government is to provide for a national defense. And it's a philosophical perspective that is holistic and consistent and has been ever since the days of Thomas Hobbes, who said that without a government, without a force capable of producing awe and fear, that humans would revert to a life that was short, brutish, and nasty. Or Sir Edmund Burke, the founder, the father of modern conservative thought, Sir Edmund Burke, who is heavily cited by Russell Kirk in his 1953 book, The Conservative Mind, which I just reread last month. First time I read this thing was 30 years ago, back when in 64, when I was working on Barry Goldwater's campaign. Edmund Burke said, it came out very, very straightforward. He said, and three quarters of Russell Kirk's book is quoting Edmund Kirk, by the way. Barry Goldwater quotes him. Last year, I just reread Barry Goldwater's second autobiography, No Apologies, which I think is a marvelous book, by the way. I recommend it. Goldwater was blinded by his panic of communism. He didn't realize it was imploding from within. Because there were folks like Don Rumsfeld back then who were whipping up the hysteria. That's a whole other story. In any case, the traditional conservatives, you get Edmund Burke, who said, it does me no harm if a man has a profession such as a candle maker, tallow maker, he called it, or a hairdresser. However, it does society great harm should such a man be allowed to participate in governance. Right? The idea of hierarchy and all. So why don't the conservatives just be truthful about this stuff? Well, anyhow, here we have Bill Clinton and Harry Reid back in 99 during the Clinton administration making a couple of comments that Hannity and Limbaugh in the last couple of days have taken out of context, and now all the right-wing radio shows are going to be taking these things and running with them, and these will be the new talking points, and let's set the record straight, my friends. In the 1999 State of the Union address, Bill Clinton said that he suggested that they should commit 60%, and I'm quoting now from Bill Clinton, 60% of the budget surplus for the next 15 years. Now, he didn't see George Bush coming, so he assumed that there would continue to be a budget surplus. He was not proposing to give trillions of dollars away to the wealthy. Anyhow, 60% of the budget surplus for the next 15 years to Social Security, investing a small portion in the private sector. End quote. Now, what he meant was, because the Social Security Trust Fund, which has been running a surplus since, well, it's been running surplus for a while, but under the Reagan administration, there was this group that was put together. As I recall, Greenspan was involved in this thing. Might have been Paul Volcker. In any case, some fairly famous economists got together and said, you know, Social Security is going to have a problem. What we need to do now in the early 80s, and then some of this was done in the 70s, is raise the Social Security tax beyond what we need so that we'll start saving money. So when the boomers retire, we can pay them out of the savings. This is that point. From 2017, 2018, whatever, 2012, whatever year you want to pick, it varies depending on whose estimates you're using. From 2018 to 2042, when the Social Security Administration will be bringing in less money than it's spending out. Well, it's planned that way. we set that money aside. And that money has been set aside and invested in treasury bills. It's earning 2 or 3% interest right now. Not a lot, but better than nothing. Christian Science Monitor had an interesting study where a guy who had retired in 2003 compared, went back all the way back to the 1950s when he first started working and took every penny that he'd put into Social Security and then took year by year the Dow Jones Industrials average and said, okay, if I'd put this money into the Dow average versus Social Security, what would have happened? He would have lost money in the stock market. Why? Because 2003 the market was down. And that was the year he retired. And that didn't count the fees that are going to be in there. Yeah, I mean, Wall Street is just lathering at the opportunity of handling $600 to $900 billion in fees for handling the trillions of dollars in Social Security, which right now are boring green eye shade folks are taking care of at Social Security. So anyhow, what Clinton was saying was, let's take some of this money that is invested, some small percentage of it, 10-15%, just let's try it out. Take some small percentage of this surplus that has been invested in treasury bills and bonds, and let's put it in the stock market and see what happens. Oh, that's an idea that's worth debating. But it had nothing whatsoever to do. Nothing whatsoever to do with creating personal, so-called personal, private accounts. And cutting back on benefits to Social Security recipients to do that, and throwing Social Security and the federal government somewhere between $2 and $7 trillion in debt in order for this new welfare program for Wall Street that George Bush is proposing to happen. Nothing to do with it. But Limbaugh says Clinton proposed the same thing as Bush's plan for private accounts. Yeah. In the February 7th edition, this is from America Matters for America, on the February 7th edition of Fox News with Hannity and Combs, Hannity used an out-of-context quote by Reid, Harry Reid, the head of the Senate Republicans, the senator, Democratic senator from Nevada, which the Republican National Committee recently circulated. See, the RNC is up to this stuff. We're going to have an RNC alert in the next hour. To assert that Reid once favored President Bush's proposal for private accounts. Here's exactly what he said, quoting Hannity. He, Reid, said in 1999 on Fox News Sunday, quote, and now Hannity quoting Reid, most of us have no problem with taking a small portion of the Social Security proceeds and putting it into the private sector, end quote. And again, as I said, what they were talking about was, let's take some of this $1 trillion surplus that we're saving up to pay off the baby boomers, to pay for their benefits, and let's take a small amount of it and put it in the stock market instead of buying government bonds with it. Now we're back to Sean Hannity speaking. Hannity says, quote, now let's go to 2004. George W. Bush, aiding Bush Senator Ted Kennedy, leading the way. And this is what he, Reid, says today, quote, and now Hannity quoting Reid, someone wants to privatize Social Security, they're going to have to find someone else to get in bed with other than me, end of quote. And then Hannity, in his most sarcastic tone, says, doesn't that show that this is now politics for these guys? Isn't this tragic? Isn't this absolutely tragic that these guys would take the words of these politicians and lie about them and just lie about them on the air? And that the RNC is passing this out. By the way, just to wrap this thing up. Travis Johnson, 27 years old. Koshiko, Indiana. Was yesterday morning convicted to 20 years in prison. 20 years in prison. What was his crime? He possessed 2 OxyContin pills and sold them to a confidential informant, a police informant. Johnson's girlfriend addressed the court and told Judge Dwayne Huffler, quote, since we've been together, both our lives have changed. We've grown and matured together. The last 4 months have been trying so hard. Give him a chance. His attorney so told the court, although the jury said Johnson is guilty, he maintains his innocence. He said this is not a violent offense. It was not a large amount of drugs. It was 2 small pills. And Johnson himself says, this is a guy who can't afford to go to a fancy clinic like Limbaugh. He says, I've never been to counseling ever. I was on probation one time and I did really good, but I've never been given a chance. I've never been given a chance.
And now we find the liberals doing what they always do, and I've told you this. They always try to give me 50 milligrams of Vicodin instead of the 80s.
Yes, indeed.
In closing, let me say that each and every day, I'm an evil, rotten, egotistical snob. I'm the cop of Joe McCarthy-like Gestapo, the right-wing, foam-of-the-mouth, jack-booted slob.
Our conservative alert for the day.
Years of liberal bashing with the equivalent compassion of a grommet. With the IQ of a pig, I'm a fat, obnoxious pig. And the
now it's getting a name call in here. I don't know that we should. I usually don't call names on this program, so I'm just going to stop the music. Tony in Grand Rapids, Michigan on the line. Hey, Tony, I think we've only got about a half a minute left. I may have to pick you up on the other side of the break. What's up?
All right, you might have to do that. I'll start my question.
There it starts, actually, Tony. I'm sorry. The clock caught me. So, Tony, just hang on. We'll take your call right after the break. We've got a couple of minutes of commercials here, pay the bills, and share with you some interesting information, no doubt, from some of our sponsors. By the way, the program brought to you by DemocraticMatch.com, EcoWine.com, SmallDog.com. You can find them all on the web. Support the sponsors if you like the show, and let the station know. We'll be back.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-505-1546. That's 800-505-1546. For new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month of $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now. 800-505-1546.
Do you want to find out what the invasion of Iraq was really about? Read the new illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Once you've read We the People, you'll understand why conservatives are trying to bankrupt government and how perpetual war is used as a political strategy in the United States. You'll learn how our votes are in danger and what we must do about it. You'll discover why the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 matter today. Populist watchdog and national radio commentator Jim Hightower had this to say about We the People.
Not only does this book tell you what's really going on, but it even draws you a picture of it. Read, learn, and act.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. A compelling story of how a government by and for the people has been replaced by corporate domination. Fully illustrated by Neil Cohn, We the People issues a call to action in a most entertaining way. Available in bookstores everywhere.
For thousands of years, millions of people have trusted the healing power of herbs. Healing Hollers, an earth-based business in the southern Ozarks, has formulated medical herbal salves proven effective in promoting healing and providing relief for many skin conditions, including a healing salve with antiseptic and antibacterial properties to treat cuts, burns, scalds, and wounds, an antifungal salve safe and effective for athlete's foot, ringworm, nail, and other fungal infections, and a soothing calendula salve to reduce pain and inflammation from dry skin, eczema, and rashes, including diaper rash. These salves contain only herbs and roots organically grown or ethically wildcrafted natural oils and beeswax from the Ozarks. To learn more about these salves and other natural products from Healing Hollers, go to www.healing-hollers.com. That's www.healing-hollers.com.
In some parts of the world, a shortage of protein leads to an abundance of poaching. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. People and wildlife are suffering from severe overfishing in the waters of West Africa. Researchers say the fishery has been depleted as a result of overexploitation, and people can no longer rely on fish to get cheap protein into their diets. People are turning to animal meat as a replacement, and they're getting it by poaching in wildlife reserves. Justin Precheres is a wildlife ecologist at the University of California in Berkeley. He studied the rise and fall of fish populations off the coast of Ghana during the past 30 years. Ghana is on Africa's Atlantic coast, and people there have depended on fish for generations. Precheres says the importance of this fishery stretches from the Atlantic coast to the edge of the Sahara Desert.
It's actually when you get much further inland, in some cases even into sub-desert or desert communities, hundreds, in some cases 1,000 miles from the coast, where you realize that it's these smoked or dried fish, particularly these small sardines and anchovy-type things, that are the primary source of animal protein. And they're the cheapest. They're still, despite the cost of getting these fish transported all the way out to these villages in the middle of nowhere, they're still the cheapest source of animal protein around.
Precheres says this source of protein and economic livelihood is disappearing because of overfishing. He says people all over West Africa are now hunting in game reserves to get protein from meat. His work shows that hunting has been hard on herds of wild animals that include elephants, lions, and leopards. Precheres published his findings last November in the journal Science. He says these problems occur around the world, and we need to find new ways to give people cheap protein that doesn't come from fish or other animals in the wild. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Take a straight and stronger course to the corner of your life.
And welcome back. You are in the real free speech zone. No barbed wire here. No cops threatening to put you in handcuffs if you hold up an anti-Bush protest sign. No, it's the real free speech zone. Conservatives, welcome, by the way. All callers. We do not filter callers on this program, as regular listeners know. Welcome back to the program. Let's go back to Tony. Tony, I'm sorry. We got caught there by the break. We've got another 3 minutes here to go, so what's on your mind?
Tom, you were saying earlier that you campaigned for Barry Goldwater.
When I was 13 years old, I went door-to-door for Barry Goldwater. In my heart, I knew he was right. I still think he made a lot of sense in a lot of areas, although there are some areas that, as I got older and wiser, mostly it happened around when I was 17 and suddenly I was looking at the Vietnam War right down the throat. Anyhow, as I've gotten older and wiser, I've refined the areas of difference. But he was a man of principle, him and Everett Dirksen.
He was also anti-civil rights and anti-Semitic.
Well, he was anti-civil rights because he believed that the civil rights movement had been infiltrated by the communists. I can't speak to his anti-Semitism. I've never seen any evidence of that.
I read about that in a couple books. And yeah. Just by the way, I just got done reading your book, We the People, and I loved it.
Well, thank you.
After reading David Brock's The Republican Noise Machine, Bill Clinton's My Life, and Howard Zinn's People History of the United States, it was a lot easier read, and it was very nice.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, it's a comic book, you know, which really makes it easier to read. But sure. it's also, you know, where that came from is we took 13 columns that I'd written for Common Dreams, which you can find, I don't know how many there are now, 40, 50 of them. If you go to tomhartman.com and click articles on democracy, we took 13 of those columns and Neil Cohn illustrated them and turned them into a comic book. And it's just a really nice, very readable kind of history of the United States from the founding of this country up till now.
It was a good book.
Yeah,
thank you for writing it.
Thanks. So, did you have a point or issue, Tony? Or was
just I just wanted to hear what you said about the Barry Goldwater thing.
Okay.
It just surprised me.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's my take on Goldwater. Thanks a lot for the call, Tony. Jeff in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Jeff, we're just about out of time. What's up?
Hi, Tom. Even though I'm not a Bible thumper or a Roman Catholic by any stretch of imagination, what we have to fear in the Western world, the Arab world, is not bombs and terrorist attacks. It's within the next 50 years, it's the fertility rate.
Well, there is that issue, Jeff, and a lot of folks are making that. In fact, I wrote a book called The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight that talks about the population explosion and the cause of it. It's really a topic that's larger than we can handle right in this moment. But you do raise a good point, and I do appreciate the call. I'm sorry we're just out of time here, at least for this hour of the program. We will be back. I'm Tom Hartman.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
If it weren't for In These Times, I'd be a man without a country, says author Kurt Vonnegut. For more than 27 years, the progressive news magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. It is the publication the scholar and activist Cornel West calls the most creative and challenging news magazine of the American left. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Turn to In These Times for stories on civil liberties, the environment, labor, feminism, and much more. Writer Barbara Ehrenreich put it this way: to people who say they are sick of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. That's 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. A union election is set for February 25th at a Walmart tire and auto service store in Loveland, Colorado. The workers there would be the first Walmart workers in the U.S. to unionize if the United Food and Commercial Workers are successful. Norberto Ricardo is the UFCW organizer in Loveland. He believes the workers will win, but he says Walmart is trying to intimidate its workers into not joining unions. Ricardo says it's important to organize Walmart because it pays very low wages, doesn't provide adequate benefits, and drags down wages of other companies. He would like to see workers exercise their rights to organize without fear.
I would like for all these employees from Walmart to reunite together and not to be afraid and leave the fear somewhere else and go forward with the process to organize and become one union.
Federal employees from the Department of Defense marched on Capitol Hill yesterday in protest of a proposed personnel regulation overhaul. American Federation of Government Employees President John Sweeney told the hundreds of rallying employees that the National Security Personnel System will jeopardize public safety and national security by taking away employee protections that allow workers to speak freely when they see wrongdoing or mismanagement. The AFGE and other unions representing government employees are planning to file a lawsuit. The decision to implement similar changes at the Department of Homeland Security has already led to one lawsuit, saying that the changes undermine the constitutional right of due process. AFGE General Counsel Mark Roth said of the DHS changes in a press release that managers will have free rein to retaliate against employees who challenge management decisions.
New York City's Hudson Yards development has the potential to create thousands of jobs, many of them union jobs, so a coalition of labor and business groups is supporting it. There's opposition, though, from city community groups. Jim Whalen is head of the Hudson Yards Coalition, a labor-led group supporting the development.
What the Hudson Yards plan really represents is a long-term plan that is going to create hundreds of thousands of jobs for New Yorkers on all income levels.
Critics of the development and the sports stadium for the Jets that comes with it say the development is too dense and will cost the city more than $3 billion with an adverse impact on the West Side. Whalen, though, says the stadium and the union jobs it creates is good for New York.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Union membership dropped slightly in 2004. New numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics say that union membership dropped to 12.5% of all workers nationwide. The biggest drops were in Alaska, Illinois, and Missouri, with the major gains being in New York and Minnesota. Almost half of all union membership is concentrated in six states: California, New York, Michigan, Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
I have this to say to Barbara Boxer. Thank you. The California senator is on the Foreign Relations Committee that recently considered the confirmation of Condoleezza Rice to be George W.'s Secretary of State. During the confirmation hearing, Senator Boxer had the audacity to do what none of the other senators dared do. She did her job. Presidents can nominate whoever they want to cabinet positions, but it's the solemn constitutional responsibility of senators to evaluate the worthiness of any president's choice. The committee's consideration of Condi Rice, however, was more of a group hug than responsible senatorial scrutiny, until it came Boxer's turn to question. She went right after Rice for the apocalyptic lies she had told the American people about Saddam Hussein's supposed possession of weapons of mass destruction. Those WMDs were the sole rationale for Congress okaying Georgia's Iraq invasion, and Rice, then Bush's national security advisor, was the chief pusher of the WMD claim. You might remember her warning in 2002 that a failure to invade would result in, quote, a mushroom cloud over America. But oh, the outcry over Boxer's temerity in challenging Rice. How dare a senator get in the face of Bush's choice? Indeed, Condi herself fell into a snit, snapping at Boxer, I really hope that you will refrain from impugning my integrity. Thank you very much. Well, excuse me, Your Highness, but your integrity is precisely the issue. Why should someone who has so enthusiastically lied about a disastrous adventure that has caused thousands of deaths and maimings in Iraq be promoted, especially to a post where her word is essential to U.S. credibility in the world? This is Jim Hightower saying, thank you, Senator Boxer, not only for doing your job, but also for causing some of the other Democrats to grow a backbone.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
And radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, alive and kicking. Folks in the chat room, greetings to you all. No, we haven't seen Thomas Jefferson today, although it might be a good day for a mouse sighting right outside the studio here. There's the strangest little mouse. He's got ears that stick straight up, and he sits right up on his hind legs while he's chewing on things. Some folks have said he's a deer mouse as opposed to a field mouse. I don't know. Anyhow, we've named him Thomas Jefferson. And his relatives have been leaving tracks all over the building, but I haven't seen him sitting around outside the window in about a week. But it's a fairly warm day here. It's actually raining. There's snow all over the place, but it's getting pretty icy. Welcome back to the program. 1-866-889-8894 is our toll-free telephone number if you'd like to call in. The website is tomhartman.com. The actual way I spell it is T-H-O-M, Hartman with two N's. However, we have all four misspellings, so no matter how you spell it, it will get you to the right website You can drop into our chat, our live message area, message board, some 50, 60,000 messages in there. Every day, dozens more people talking about the things we talk about on the air. Very often, I learn things from our listeners and bring them to the show. In fact, it's one of the great sources of information for me. I'm in there. I don't often post messages, but I do read it from some regularity. Depends on whether I'm traveling or not. And of course, our chat room, which I do read entirely during our breaks, our live chat. If you want to participate in that, just click the live chat button. First, you have to go into the message boards and register for that. And that's just to keep trolls out, basically. That's a very small level of security. Anyhow, welcome back to our program. The former head of a Republican consulting group, this is a story that's been dragging on for 3 years now. Alan Raymond, 37, a former Republican consultant, was just sent to 5 years in jail for jamming telephone lines in New Hampshire during the 2002 election. All these dirty tricks. You know, I want to know, when are they going to go after Ken Blackwell? What about Catherine Harris and Jeb Bush? You know, pushing 70, 80,000 African-Americans off the voting rolls so they couldn't vote. And then say, oh, George won by 500 votes. 80,000 people disenfranchised? And we have three elections now, 2000, 2002, 2004, with massive vote fraud and irregularities. Finally, one guy goes to jail. He was the president of Alexandria-based, Virginia-based GOP Marketplace at the time. Raymond and his co-conspirator, this is from the Associated Press, an article by Tim McCahill. Raymond and co-conspirators plotted to jam Democratic lines. The voters called for rides to the polls in Manchester, Nashua, Rochester, and Claremont, New Hampshire, some of the larger cities in New Hampshire. A line run by the nonpartisan Manchester Firefighters Union was also jammed. I guess they figured the Republicans all could afford their own cars. 800 computer-generated calls lasting more than 90 minutes jammed up these lines on November 5, 2002, as voters decided races for governor, senator, hundreds of other offices. And so we have a sununu back in office now in New Hampshire. State Republicans acknowledged 2 years ago that they hired this guy, the GOP Marketplace, paid him $15,600. Chuck McKee, former executive director of the New Hampshire Republican Party, also pleaded guilty. James Tobin, 44, regional director of Bush's campaign last year, was indicted in December. He's pleaded innocent. Well, I'll tell you, in the 2006 elections, if the Democrats take back the House or the Senate, and we need to be doing absolutely everything we can to make sure that happens, and I say that as a person who is not, I am not a Democrat. I have a lot of problems with the Democratic Party. But the fact of the matter is, as James Madison pointed out in Federalist Number 10, and if you haven't read it, you know, most of the Federalist papers are pretty dense because they dealt with minutiae of the day. Federalist Number 10 is brilliant. The Federalist Papers were a series of letters that the founders, not the founders so much, the framers actually framed the Constitution. Basically, it was three people. 90% of them were written by Alexander Hamilton and James Madison. Madison wrote probably, 40% of them. Hamilton wrote maybe 50% of them, 55% of them, and about 5% of them were written by John Jay. And they were basically a sales job. It was an effort to convince or to answer questions, really, because they all address questions. People would write into, letters to the editor of the newspaper and ask and say, well, how can it be that this or that? And so there would be another letter. And they've been compiled over time, and we refer to them now as the Federalist Papers. At the time, it was just a series of letters published in the newspapers. In Federalist Number 10, James Madison talks about the danger of creating factions, that the form of governance that we're creating, which was the first representative democracy in the history of modern civilization, going all the way back 7,000 years to Gilgamesh, they didn't get it altogether right. I mean, they knew it. They just didn't know what better to do. John Stuart Mill did not invent proportional representation until 1861. That was four generations later. So Madison is saying, if you have more than two parties, you're going to end up with somebody getting elected who does not have more than 50% of the vote. You're going to have minority rule, and that's not democratic. So we have to avoid creating factions, what they called factions back then. You call them political parties today. Please don't do that. Well, that was 1787. 10 years later, 1797, the Federalists, who were the only party at the time, were going at it with the Democrats and the Republicans, and the Democrats and Republicans and several other parties. And the Democrats and Republicans joined forces under Thomas Jefferson, called the Democratic Republicans, which to this day is known as the Democratic Party, the oldest and longest lasting political party in the history of the world. And the point of all this whole rant is that if the Democratic Party can succeed, because the Greens are not going to do it. I mean, God bless them. I voted for Ralph Nader in 2000. I voted for John Kerry this last time because I was not going to throw my vote away. Even here in Vermont, I wasn't going to take a chance. But and I had a few problems with Ralph, although I agree with him on most issues. But nonetheless, the point is that if the Democrat, we only have two parties. We've got them. Those of us who consider ourselves progressives or liberals or whatever you want to call it, we need to take back the Democratic Party. We need to infiltrate it and take it back, just like the conservatives did with the Republican Party. They felt it had lost its way under Eisenhower. Eisenhower was a liberal. It had lost its way under Eisenhower. Nixon was going to bring it back. He wasn't conservative enough. They brought out Barry Goldwater. He wasn't radical enough. They brought out Ronald Reagan. And Reagan was willing to dance to the corporatist tune that Goldwater wasn't. Not that I want to get back into defending Barry Goldwater again, because as I said, I have a lot of problems with Barry Goldwater, too. But in any case. So if the Democrats can take back the House or Senate, then we can see an investigation into the crimes that have been committed over the last 6 years in these elections. And I am convinced that if that happens, you're going to see everything from impeachment to Jeb Bush and Catherine Harris going to jail. And Ken Blackwell, and out in New Mexico, what's going on, the stuff that they're finding. I mean, it is enough to curl your hair, if it's not already. So that's the bad news. We've got some good news. I got to caught you doing something right here for this hour. We've got information on the Health and Human Services Department withholding information about Head Start, the new middle-class tax increase that George W. Bush just proposed. But first, we've got some folks who've been patiently sitting on the line for a while here. Let's get to the phones. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Brian in New Jersey on the line. Hey, Brian, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. It's pretty cool what you're talking about as far as infiltrating the parties, because I know all my adult friends, when I say adult, I guess I mean like 35 and older, they're all infiltrating the Republican Party, and it seems all my friends and myself are infiltrating the Democratic Party, so we're going to get them from both ends.
Yeah, I think some of us need to be infiltrating the Republican Party as well.
Definitely.
There is a fine tradition of the Republican Party. It started out as the party of reform. You know, Abe Lincoln was the liberal candidate back then. It didn't really fall apart until Ulysses S. Grant became president in 1870. 72, the actual party platform of 1872 was progressive. Of the Republican Party, it called for allowing women to vote. It called for no foreign adventurism. It called for health care. There was a whole series of things in that platform that were extreme. It called for a minimum wage. It called for the right for unionization. I wrote an article called Republicans Take Back Your Party that you can find at tomhartman.com. Click on Articles and Democracy. It lists all that. But during that administration, during the Grant administration, the railroads, who were the largest corporations of the day, they took over the Republican Party, and by 1776, it was toast.
Well,
and has been ever since.
I believe most America is the radical middle.
Yeah.
So we do need to infiltrate both parties. The real reason I was calling, I'm actually driving across America next week, and I was wondering how I can find what stations you're on in each state that I go through so I don't go through Tom Withdrawal.
Oh, my. Well, the of course, Sirius Satellite Radio has us from coast to coast.
I don't think I'm going to have Sirius, so that's the only problem.
Yeah, okay. Well, drop me. Actually, there's on our message board in the Bring Tom to Your City area.
Okay.
And I know you're on our message board.
Yeah.
I have listed. There's a list of all of our affiliates right there.
Oh, okay, great.
So you can just go there and find it. So good luck.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Good
Bye-bye.
To hear from you. I appreciate it. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Mark in Grand Rapids listening on WTKG, one of Clear Channel's finest stations. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I hate to admit this, but when you talk about $150 billion in corporate welfare, I'm not quite sure what you mean by that. I've heard you say that several times. I can think of a few things, farm subsidies and such, but what do you
mean? Yeah, farm subsidies to the nuclear. One of the huge ones is the nuclear power industry. Nuclear power industry is incapable of getting insurance.
Oh,
so you and I are insuring them.
Oh,
You
great.
Know. Yeah. Yeah. For example, I don't have the list in front of me. I did a show on this about 6 months ago, and I had the whole list and all the details. And frankly, it's been 6 months, and my brain just isn't as sticky as it was when I was 20. So I don't have the list, but it's there. It's I'm sure if you Google corporate welfare, you'd find it. Actually, Public Citizen is probably the best source for that. Public Citizen, I think it might just be citizen.org. We had somebody from Public Citizen on a show the other day. I think they corrected me. It's citizen.org is their website. But if you plug Public Citizen into Google and corporate welfare, you'll find it. This is no secret. This is no secret. And the huge corporate welfare that really nobody's talking about and that is not included in that $150 billion figure, because that's the money that government's actually passing out. The huge corporate welfare is stuff like so many communities, so many states having to pay for the health care and the traditional costs. We have a health care system that's paid by employers in the United States, right? Unless you work for Walmart. Walmart has a program that you can buy into, but it's pretty minimal. And the reality is that our Medicaid program is taking care of most Walmart people because they're below the poverty level. And it's not just Walmart, by the way, to be picking on. I mean, it's just this whole big box business, the driving down. There are all these hidden corporate welfares as well. We are making it possible for corporations to exploit workers and not have an absolute Dickensian world, because we have these programs like Medicare and so on, and that's not even included in that. So, is that your question, Mark?
Yep.
Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894, telephone number. The GOP is not conservative, says Matt Drennan. A conservative. I share that with you. Right after this, it's the Tom Hartman radio program exposing the con and conservative.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartman Show, absolutely, without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
A party at Ed's house. Okay. Will Ed's parents be there? Then the answer is no.
Making sure an adult's there isn't easy.
No, his brother being there isn't the same.
But if you don't, your kid's more likely to do drugs.
No, I don't care if he is old for his age.
Do it. It'll always be worth it. Parents, the anti-drug. To learn more, call 1-800-788-2800 or visit theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for Drug-Free America.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. If you'd like to help bring the Tom Hartman program to a radio station in your area, please let us know. We have tools to help you make that happen. For more information, go to www.tomhartman.com and click on the Bring Tom Show to Your Town link on the left side of the page. Thanks for your help in bringing uncommon sense from the radical middle to your community.
Real novelists don't go to graduate school, they go to prison. Mike Palasek is one of America's newest, most exciting political storytellers. Palasek is a former federal prisoner for peace, county commissioner, city jail prisoner, Iowa Democratic Party candidate for Congress, football co-captain, small-town newspaper reporter, and bakery delivery truck driver. Check out www.iowapeace.com for Mike's books and read his weekly column, Is This Heaven? The View from Iowa. Go to iowapeace.com for ordering information for Twins, Joe Coffey's Revolution, KGB, The Truth, The Last Liberal Outlaw, and Prophets Without Honor. Palasek's books are recommended by Howard Zinn, Danny Schechter, BlueEar.com, The Des Moines Register, and Prisoners Everywhere.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. 24 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-889-8894. Telephone number. Glenn in Grand Rapids, Michigan on the line. Hey, Glenn, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I'm just calling to echo the sentiments of Bob in Pittsburgh. He said it so very well, and I agree with him 1,000%. I was able to catch you when you were here in Grand Rapids last September, and I happen to be retired, so I can listen to you the first 2 hours. We don't get you the third hour, but I look forward to it every day, and I listen every day, and I'm just passing out these compliments because I enjoy the show so much.
Well, thank you, Glenn. I truly appreciate it, and you made my day. You and Bob. You made my day.
Well, sure. The sentiments of Bob, not a doubt.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. Glenn, I appreciate the call. I really and truly do. Thank you so much. It's time for Ellen Ratner from the Talk Radio News Service on the line. Ellen Ratner in Washington, D.C. Hey, Ellen, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. I'm actually driving to the Pentagon as we speak. But it's interesting that Condi Rice is talking very, very tough in Europe and today. The President Bush is sort of softening, so I think they're doing the old legal mutt and Jeff routine.
The good cop, bad cop thing, yes.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, she's giving this, you know, whatever, and the President's trying to say, oh, well, you know. But clearly they have their sights on Iran, and I am told by people at the Pentagon that they have been playing war games for over 6 months with Iran. I think I've talked to you about that before.
Yeah.
The other thing that came up at the White House briefing today is everybody wants to know if the White House purposely was misleading on their figures for Medicare and the Medicare prescription drug plan. And, of course, the White House is totally denying that they were at all misleading. And then the president later on in his sort of quick news thing with the president of Poland said that, no, he defended his the need for prescription drugs and why the plan was what it is. Of course, they can very much cut down on the cost of prescription drugs for Medicare if they would allow drugs to be imported from Canada, group buying, et cetera. But they're not going to do that because of the quote-unquote safety of the American public.
Well, and the whole point of, I mean, the drugs that we're importing from Canada are drugs that are manufactured here in the United States. The whole point of importing them from Canada is that Canada does bulk buys. They go to the drug companies and say, we'll buy 1 million pills. You're going to give us a better price than if we just buy 30. And the drug companies say, yeah, that makes sense. Here's a discount. And then the Canadians pass that discount along to their citizens. But Bush wrote into the Medicare bill that it was illegal for the United States government to go to the drug companies and say, we'd like to negotiate bulk prices. I mean, the whole thing with Canada is people are missing the deeper issue, which is why don't we just negotiate with the drug companies?
Well, of course. So I think these figures have also come up today and yesterday on Capitol Hill because Nancy Pelosi got together with Harry Reid, who, of course, the Republicans are going out mercilessly.
Yeah.
And basically said in terms of that they are that their numbers can't be trusted. And how are you going to trust their numbers if you can't trust them with the Medicare prescription drug? How are you going to trust them with the Social Security number?
The they you're talking about being the Bush administration and their minions.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
I'm curious, Ellen, in the half a minute or so we've got left, you said Condi's talking tough, George's Bush talking soft. This is about Iran?
This is about Iran, that's right.
Yeah, any specifics?
Let me just see if I can now. She calls on Iran to live up to its obligations, and she also said that they were going to perhaps go to the Security Council to get sanctions. We've been down this road before.
Yeah, and Iran has been cooperating with Europe and with the United Nations, at least from what I read in the newspaper.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Pentagon and reserve my embedded slot for the next invasion.
Good luck, Ellen. I'm not sure I'd do that. But I admire your tenacity and your courage, and I thank you very much for being on our program every day. I'm so grateful for the fine work you're doing there in Washington, D.C.
Thank you.
Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service from Washington, D.C., our daily report. Thanks, Ellen. We'll talk to you soon. 29 minutes past the hour. Here, we're being progressive, never felt so good.
And now for a traffic update, we go to Kelly Clark. Kelly, how's it looking out there?
Well, if you've got to get anywhere, I hope you have lots of time.
Uh-oh.
All northbound lanes at the Taylor Interchange are backed up. Westbound lanes are at a standstill, and the off-ramp near the Martin Building remains closed, causing major headaches.
Not good.
But I do have good news.
What's that, Kelly?
I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. A union election is set for February 25th at a Walmart tire and auto service store in Loveland, Colorado. The workers there would be the first Walmart workers in the U.S. to unionize if the United Food and Commercial Workers are successful. Norberto Ricardo is the UFCW organizer in Loveland. He believes the workers will win, but he says Walmart is trying to intimidate its workers into not joining unions. Ricardo says it's important to organize Walmart because it pays very low wages, doesn't provide adequate benefits, and drags down wages of other companies. He would like to see workers exercise their rights to organize without fear.
I would like for all these employees from Walmart to reunite together and not to be afraid and leave the fear somewhere else and go forward with the process to organize and become one union.
Federal employees from the Department of Defense marched on Capitol Hill yesterday in protest of a proposed personnel regulation overhaul. American Federation of Government Employees President John Sweeney told the hundreds of rallying employees that the national security personnel system will jeopardize public safety and national security by taking away employee protections that allow workers to speak freely when they see wrongdoing or mismanagement. The AFGE and other unions representing government employees are planning to file a lawsuit. The decision to implement similar changes at the Department of Homeland Security has already led to one lawsuit, saying that the changes undermine the constitutional right of due process. AFGE General Counsel Mark Roth said of the DHS changes in a press release that managers will have free rein to retaliate against employees who challenge management decisions.
New York City's Hudson Yards development has the potential to create thousands of jobs, many of them union jobs, so a coalition of labor and business groups is supporting it. There's opposition, though, from city community groups. Jim Whalen is head of the Hudson Yards Coalition, a labor-led group supporting the development.
What the Hudson Yards plan really represents is a long-term plan that is going to create hundreds of thousands of jobs for New Yorkers on all income levels.
Critics of the development and the sports stadium for the Jets that comes with it say the development is too dense and will cost the city more than $3 billion with an adverse impact on the West Side. Whalen, though, says the stadium and the union jobs it creates is good for New York.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Union membership dropped slightly in 2004. New numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics say that union membership dropped to 12.5% of all workers nationwide. The biggest drops were in Alaska, Illinois, and Missouri, with the major gains being in New York and Minnesota. Almost half of all union membership is concentrated in six states: California, New York, Michigan, Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Ah, poor Rama. He's taking so much grief in our chat room. Welcome back, my friends. Me. Yes, there are... By the way, let me pass this along before I go along. I was reading the chat room during the break, and somebody dropped in and then dropped back out again, and I have now lost that. Here, let's see, what's this person's... They had a great handle. Indestructible Man was the chat handle that this person was using. And he suggested that you check out www, and this in answer to the question from an earlier caller, www.corporations, that's plural, corporations with an S at the end, .org/welfare/. corporations.org/welfare/. And it's the Corporate Welfare Information Center. And the lead paragraph, the $150 billion for corporate subsidies and tax benefits eclipses the annual budget deficit of $130 billion. Now, this must have been written several years ago. It's more than the $145 billion paid out annually for the core programs for the social welfare state, aid to families who depend on children, student aid, housing, food and nutrition, and all direct public assistance, excluding Social Security and medical care. And then goes on to say, after World War II, the nation's tax bill was roughly split between corporations and individuals. I just wrote an op-ed piece about this a week or so ago for Common Dreams. But after years of changes in the federal tax code and international economy, the corporate share of taxes has declined to a fourth the amount individuals pay, according to the U.S. Office of Management and Budget. And there's another variety of corporate welfare for you. And then they go through, then they've got just dozens of links on here. I was going to say maybe hundreds. No, it's dozens of links. Here's the largest, the eight largest corporate welfare recipients. General Motors received $110,600,000 in corporate welfare, and in exchange for that, they laid off 104,000 people. IBM received $58 million in, this is in the period of 1990 to 94. This is the first four years last 2 years of the Bush, older Bush administration, first 2 years of Clinton. IBM received $58 million in corporate welfare, laid off 100,000 people. AT&T received $35 million in corporate welfare, laid off 1,077 people. General Electric received $25,400,000 in corporate welfare, laid off 80,000 people. Amoco received $23,600,000, laid off 8,300 people. DuPont, $15,200,000, laid off 29,000 people. And on it goes. And on it goes. And they also say, there's an asterisk here, AT&T also laid off 40,000 people shortly after this accounting. But there's lots and lots of links to websites that actually break down. Here's one on ADM. The Cato Institute, of all folks, this is a conservative, they wouldn't call themselves conservative. They would call themselves libertarian think tank. They are opposed to corporate welfare, by the way. They've done some interesting, some very good work on corporate welfare. But you'll find all those links, www.corporations.org/welfare/. So there tis, or thar tis. Thank you very much for Indestructible Man and the folks in our chat room. It just never fails. Somebody calls with a question. I don't know the answer. Somebody in our chat room does. And we go to a break and I read the chat room and there it is. And then I get to sound so smart. Isn't that great? Well, actually, I like to credit the folks in the chat room too. So I guess I sound smart for crediting. You know, one of the things talk radio spends a lot of time doing is catching people doing things wrong. And it's one of the things that people, it happens in families. It's one of the things that happens in businesses is, you know, as a management style, is catching people doing things wrong. And over time, if you're on the receiving end of the catching, it can be demoralizing. And in the years that I spent in the business world running businesses, and I've run seven businesses over the last 30 years. One of the things that I've learned is that it's really useful. In fact, it's far more useful to catch people doing things right than catching people doing things wrong. Now, of course, in talk radio, you have to talk about what's going on. What's the news of the day? What are people up to? And there's a certain amount of catching folks doing things wrong there. But I think it's also important to catch people doing things right from time to time. And we try to do that on this program. We look for opportunities to catch people doing things right. And today we're catching Matt Drennan doing something right. He's our jolly good fellow for the day. In the Ledger, in don't see exactly what city this is in. This is a newspaper, www.ledger.com. And it's an article he wrote. He said, to all my neoconservative friends who have been calling me disgraceful names such as Democrat or liberal, it's time for you to apologize. I am neither. He says he's a conservative. You get the point. I am a conservative. He says, however, he says, every argument against this war has proved to be a fact. Every argument against this war in Iraq has proved to be a fact. That's, he says, why George Bush spent the majority of his inauguration speech blathering on about spreading liberty and freedom through the world. It was his only excuse left for war with Iraq. Matt goes on to say the war cost is hundreds of billions more than Bush was willing to admit. Saddam Hussein wasn't even a threat to his neighbors. There was no link between Hussein and al-Qaeda. Saddam didn't trust Osama bin Laden and kept him away. There were no weapons of mass destruction, and Iraq has become a breeding ground for terrorism, that since we invaded it. He goes on to say, what about the 3,000 who died in the World Trade Center? Bush has admitted several times that Iraq had nothing to do with that. And now our forces have killed more Iraqi children, he says collateral damage is what Tim McVeigh called it, than were killed in the towers. He goes on to say, the Arab world hates us more than ever. Bush has made bin Laden a prophet in the Arab world. Bin Laden always says that the United States would someday attack and occupy an Arab nation and take control of the oil. And turns out he was right. He says, you get the point. I am a conservative, but no longer a Republican. The Republican Party was conservative once, but now, under the leadership of George W. Bush, it has become neo-conservative. I am out. Just don't call me a liberal or Democrat. If you do, you owe me an apology. Matt Drennan in Lakeland. And I'm sorry I don't have the state there for that, but this is great. Well done, Matt. Congratulations. And Matt's not the only one, by the way. Just before the elections, must have been third week or so of September, I usually have a book beside the bed, try to read a book a week or so, and I read Where the White Right Went Wrong by Patrick J. Buchanan. Pat Buchanan. Now, you want somebody who, in my opinion, is an anti-Semite. Barry Goldwater was raised earlier. That's my sense of Pat Buchanan. I heard him give a speech when we lived in Atlanta at the Cobb County Civic Center, and a good chunk of his speech was devoted to those international bankers and those people and that international conspiracy and all the code words that the anti-Semites use. And I'm not saying that Pat is or is not anti-Semitic, but I am saying that I have my suspicions. He certainly is a conservative. The guy was a speechwriter. He worked in the Nixon White House. He's been around forever. And all that said, I have to, you must be starting to think now. Here, I read Goldwater's biography and I read Buchanan. You must be thinking I read nothing. Those are the only two conservative books that I read Russell Kirk a few months ago again, too, The Conservative Mind. I guess it's know your enemy, right? And you have to know what the other side is thinking. In any case, that book by Pat Buchanan, Where the Right Went Wrong, is actually a book that liberals should read. Progressives should read. I highly recommend it. The last chapter of the book, he is a pathetic apology for Republican policies. It's his way of sucking back up to the party so they don't completely evict him. But the first, I don't know how many chapters in the book, as I recall, 13, 14, something like that. So let's say the first 10, 11, 12 chapters of the book. He just totally takes apart George W. Bush, the war in Iraq, the neocons, the whole thing. He says, we should have seen this coming. This is exactly what happened. These people do not learn from the lessons of history. They played right into bin Laden's hand. They did just what he wanted. They have made our country less safe, not more safe. And he just goes after them. Absolutely after them. And he does it with an astounding grasp of history. The guy was a decent scholar. So here I am on liberal talk radio, or whatever you want to call it. I call it uncommon sense in the radical middle. I think I'm simply reflecting the opinions of the vast majority of Americans. Recommending a guy who's clearly on the right-wing fringe, Pat Buchanan's book, Where the Right Went Wrong. You can always sit in Barnes & Noble or any of your local bookstores. And in fact, I would prefer you sat in a locally owned local bookstore. and read the book or check it out of your library rather than passing the probably 75 cents or so that Pat gets as a royalty every time he sells a book along to him. But what's happening. See, what's happening, Buchanan being one example, this guy Matt Drennan another, what's happening is that the traditional conservatives, the folks who actually believed in the tenets of conservatism, are turning their back on George W. Bush, Bill Frist, Denny Hastert, Tom DeLay, these guys who are really Machiavellians. They are fascistic Machiavellians, fascistic in the classic sense of the word as used by Mussolini, meaning the merger of corporate and state interests. You'll recall Mussolini dissolved Parliament and replaced it by the Parliament of the Fascist Corporations, Parlamento di Fascistio Corporazione, or however you say it in Italian. And the corporations represented the districts in which they were incorporated, in which they had their largest factories. And Mussolini saw this as a good thing, by the way. He thought that this was a way to make a strong nation, bring in the source of power and wealth, the corporations. So anyhow, these neocons, these folks, they are not true conservatives, and they're not even classical Republicans. And they're engaging in this massive foreign policy experiment that, when it was done before by the Romans, when it was done before by Alexander the Great, when it was done before by the Brits, when it was done before by the French, it ended in disaster, the experiment of empire. George Washington was right. We should avoid foreign entanglements unless we're attacked first. 1-866-889-8894. Telephone number, Scott in Michigan on the line. Hey, Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure.
Just wanted to recount a story. We're talking about Social Security and social programs and such. And I make donations to local food banks. And just earlier in the week, I was taking food down, and I saw an elderly couple, you know, having their weekly groceries loaded into a back of a car.
Yeah.
You know, and I think people just, if they just get involved a little bit, doesn't take tons of time, just a little bit, into their local communities and local programs, volunteer a little bit, you know, you can really see the impact that these programs have on people who live down the street from you.
Yeah, and feel it and hear it. Yep, absolutely.
You know, and I didn't realize that. And these people, I'd seen their car in my neighborhood and didn't realize that, you know, they only live like 5 blocks away from where I live.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so I kind of didn't want to, you know, show them that I knew who they were, you know, but if you do that a little bit, you see the impact of what's going on, and people need to do that. You know, if you don't think that any of these things are, that there doesn't happen in your neighborhood, doesn't happen to people you know, doesn't impact you, if you do a little bit of that, you may be surprised at who you know that is benefiting from these programs that the president has decided aren't worthwhile anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that we need to cut this money to give it somewhere else. And, you know, people need to think, is that what I voted for? You know, if I voted for the president again, is that what I voted for? You know, are the things he's doing now, are those the things that I would have considered when I voted for him, and would I vote for him again?
Well, we know from the exit polls that the people who voted for George W. Bush believe, 70% of them believed, more than 70% of them believed, that Saddam Hussein had been involved in attacking the Twin Towers in New York City, that Iraq was payback for that, that Al-Qaeda was in Iraq, that there was some connection between the two. They believe, their belief system was filled with paranoid fantasies that are promulgated mostly on faux news and right-wing talk radio, or they just weren't paying attention. But, you know, I really don't think that even the most ardent conservative Republican, well, geez, here I go again. A couple of days ago, I was trying to give these guys the benefit of the doubt, and I got a bunch of people taking me to task for this. You know, I want to say I really don't think that they're voting to take food out of the mouths of hungry elderly, and yet that's what they're doing.
Well, exactly. I mean, I don't think that, you know, I don't think that your grassroots local Republican, your city board member or council member or even state representatives are indicative of what the very top of the Republican leadership in Washington is doing, yet somehow or some reason they feel that they have to lockstep with that. And for some reason they've got to join arms with the other people there, which leads to the top. That's what they have to do. You know, and they've got to find, you know, that courage within themselves to say, you know what, that isn't what I represent. I mean, as a Republican, that's not who I am. You know, I always caution myself for people who try to just use the word Republicans and try to group them all together. You know, I don't think that's useful. I don't think the vast majority of local-level Republicans would do the kinds of things that the president and the top leadership in the House and the Senate are doing, because I don't see them doing that, at least in my state, to anywhere near that extent.
They're
realistic and pragmatic and grassroots-oriented.
Yeah, I agree with you, Scott. I mean, my parents are both Republicans. They've got, on their wall in their living room, they've got a picture of me shaking hands with the Pope and next to George W. Bush. They're not bad people.
Right. I think we have to encourage those Republicans to, you know, to do what their conscience tells them to do and be Americans first. You know, be the community leader first, before they do something else.
Yeah.
And one other quick thing, because I just think it's funny, but I was just curious. Every time you talk about Ann Coulter, you always say that, you know, if she's really a woman. Why do you say that? What's the joke there?
Because I've met her, and I have met a number of transvestites, and I'm not sure. And
it would sure be hilarious if that was true.
Yeah, time will tell.
And what is her claim to fame? Why is she anybody?
Because she's loud. Frankly, I don't know. I don't know her career path. I just don't know. You'd have to do a little research on that.
I haven't been so inclined.
That's
why I thought I'd ask you, because I haven't found any good reason for her to be anybody.
Yeah. Well, that's well said, Scott. Scott, thanks a lot for the call.
Sure.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for listening to us there. Who knows? Who knows? It's the Tom Hartman Program, the place where you will hear news without conflicts of global corporate interests, where we dare to ask the question, is Walmart a person? And we dare to say, no, I don't think so. 10 minutes before the hour.
Attention, Tom Hartman listeners. I'm here with Brush Lintball.
This is the old Brush Show, Brush Lintball.
To tell you about DemocraticMatch.com. You're listening to Tom Hartman because you're intelligent, progressive, and like the thousands of members at DemocraticMatch.com, you don't drink right-wing Kool-Aid. Right, Brush?
Right-wing wackos are fine to laugh at on all their radio programs, but no one wants to date one, right?
DemocraticMatch.com is a dating site made specifically for Democrats and other progressive individuals who want to date those with similar worldviews.
What do you think of Democrats these days, Brush?
Democrats are smarter. Democrats are more evolved. Democrats are more fun. Democrats make better lovers. Democrats have better hearts.
This is your chance to meet other liberals who listen to Tom Hartman, people who cherish the principles of our democracy, believe in a woman's right to choose, believe in protecting our incredible planet. In short, DemocraticMatch.com gives you the opportunity to meet a real soulmate. So what have you got to lose? Sign up today at DemocraticMatch.com.
While the world seems to be collapsing around us, there is hope. Tom Hartman's inspiring book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, has just been re-released. The new updated version is available now and offers solutions to the issues that concern us most: eco-damage, genetic engineering, virulent disease, the end of cheap oil, water shortages, global famine, wars. We can still do something about it and create a world that will work for us and our children's children. As the inspiration for Leonardo DiCaprio's web movie, Global Warning, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight details what is happening to our planet, the reason for our culture's blind behavior, and how we can fix the problem. There is information. There is hope. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late. Now with new updated information. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555. And mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
America's attitude toward nuclear power is worlds away from that of some other countries. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Switzerland and Japan generate nearly 40% of their electricity from nuclear reactors. And last year, China announced plans to build 30 nuclear power plants in coming years. By comparison, the United States has virtually halted nuclear construction, relying on the technology for only 20% of its electricity. Michael Corradini is a nuclear engineer at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He says many countries have turned toward nuclear energy because they have fewer resources than the United States does.
The international scene very much depends on that country's ability to get energy indigenous to its borders.
Corradini says Japan is an example. It has no energy resources such as coal or oil. Corradini says nuclear power also gives heavily populated developing countries a way to improve.
The most interesting thing are the developing nations, where they're trying to move up in economic status and standard of living. China's an example, Korea an example. And in all those cases, you see that nuclear power is really considered to be one, not the only, but one of the ways to do it.
Corradini contends that more nuclear power would help the U.S. cut its reliance on coal and natural gas, but the failure to effectively deal with nuclear waste is the main factor weighing against the technology.
If we continue to simply store it and not deal with it, it is not really addressing the thing that many people worry about, which is you produce waste in the form of spent fuel. Are you starting to do something with it?
Japan, France, and other countries reprocess nuclear waste as a way to reduce it. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. There you go. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you 5 minutes, 4.5 minutes before the hour. 1-866-889-8894 is our telephone number here. On the program, sometimes referred to as Viagra for your brain. I don't know if you need that or not, Lynn. Hey, what's up? Lynn in Eureka, California on the line. Hey, Lynn.
Hi. Your last caller brought up the food banks.
Yes.
Made me realize that I should maybe mention that our local food bank is looking into the possibility of charging people for their food bucks.
You mean so when hungry people come and say, may I have some food, please, they have to cough up some bucks?
The way I understand it, they're going to charge a yearly fee.
Well, that's a good way of filtering out the most needy.
yeah, that's
good. I say that seriously. I think that's the whole point of George W. Bush's proposal that for vets to get veterans benefits, they have to pay $250 a year.
Yeah.
On its surface, you'd say, well, it's only $250 a year, and what does it matter, and all that kind of thing. But the reality is that there's a lot of homeless vets who literally can't get a dollar a day to get on by. There's no way they're going to be able to save up $250. And so they're just going to die on the streets. They won't be able to get into a VA hospital because they can't come up with that $250. And that's a lot of vets that they don't have to give services to, so they can cut the budget of the program.
Yeah. Now, I've got to give credit to the food bank. They're kind of forced into this. They've been losing funding for a while here. So they're kind of trying to figure out some way to keep going.
Well, what they should do is they should declare themselves a church, affiliate themselves with Reverend Moon.
Yeah.
And then they, I'm serious. Reverend Moon is getting big bucks from the Bush administration. Now I had thought it was over $1 billion that was given out to churches last year. I read an article over the weekend and heard a news report that said over $40 billion has been given out in the last, 4 years of the Bush administration to, quote, faith-based initiatives, end quote, for everything from abstinence training to caring for hungry people to, fill in the blank. And it's all being funneled through churches who are friendly to George W. Bush and will pass out some of their 80 million voter guides every 2 years. And so all your food bank has to do is declare itself a church.
I think I'll tell them.
Yeah. It's a tragic state of affairs. And as I've said before, I as a Christian myself, I think it's marvelous that people have religion. But I think that when religions and when churches and synagogues and Reverend Moon and whatnot, when they start taking government money, they become corrupted. We become, you know, the religions. That, this is the great danger. It's not just the corruption of government. It's the corruption of religion itself by government. That's
and
the
we
big
should
danger.
Convince people to be Christians by being Christians, not by forcing it down their throat.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Thanks a lot, Lynn. I appreciate the call. Always great to hear from you.
Okay,
thanks so
bye.
Much. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Talk radio for the rest of us.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. A union election is set for February 25th at a Walmart tire and auto service store in Loveland, Colorado. The workers there would be the first Walmart workers in the U.S. to unionize if the United Food and Commercial Workers are successful. Norberto Ricardo is the UFCW organizer in Loveland. He believes the workers will win, but he says Walmart is trying to intimidate its workers into not joining unions. Ricardo says it's important to organize Walmart because it pays very low wages, doesn't provide adequate benefits, and drags down wages of other companies. He would like to see workers exercise their rights to organize without fear.
I would like for all these employees from Walmart to reunite together and not to be afraid and leave the fear somewhere else and go forward with the process to organize and become one union.
Federal employees from the Department of Defense marched on Capitol Hill yesterday in protest of a proposed personnel regulation overhaul. American Federation of Government Employees President John Sweeney told the hundreds of rallying employees that the National Security Personnel System will jeopardize public safety and national security by taking away employee protections that allow workers to speak freely when they see wrongdoing or mismanagement. The AFGE and other unions representing government employees are planning to file a lawsuit. The decision to implement similar changes at the Department of Homeland Security has already led to one lawsuit, saying that the changes undermine the constitutional right of due process. AFGE General Counsel Mark Roth said of the DHS changes in a press release that managers will have free rein to retaliate against employees who challenge management decisions.
New York City's Hudson Yards development has the potential to create thousands of jobs, many of them union jobs, so a coalition of labor and business groups is supporting it. There's opposition, though, from city community groups. Jim Whalen is head of the Hudson Yards Coalition, a labor-led group supporting the development.
What the Hudson Yards plan really represents is a long-term plan that is going to create hundreds of thousands of jobs for New Yorkers on all income levels.
Critics of the development and the sports stadium for the Jets that comes with it say the development is too dense and will cost the city more than $3 billion with an adverse impact on the West Side. Whalen, though, says the stadium and the union jobs it creates is good for New York.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Union membership dropped slightly in 2004. New numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics say that union membership dropped to 12.5% of all workers nationwide. The biggest drops were in Alaska, Illinois, and Missouri, with the major gains being in New York and Minnesota. Almost half of all union membership is concentrated in six states: California, New York, Michigan, Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
I have this to say to Barbara Boxer. Thank you. The California senator is on the Foreign Relations Committee that recently considered the confirmation of Condoleezza Rice to be George W.'s Secretary of State. During the confirmation hearing, Senator Boxer had the audacity to do what none of the other senators dared do. She did her job. Presidents can nominate whoever they want to cabinet positions, but it's the solemn constitutional responsibility of senators to evaluate the worthiness of any president's choice. The committee's consideration of Condi Rice, however, was more of a group hug than responsible senatorial scrutiny, until it came Boxer's turn to question. She went right after Rice for the apocalyptic lies she had told the American people about Saddam Hussein's supposed possession of weapons of mass destruction. Those WMDs were the sole rationale for Congress okaying Georgia's Iraq invasion, and Rice, then Bush's national security advisor, was the chief pusher of the WMD claim. You might remember her warning in 2002 that a failure to invade would result in, quote, a mushroom cloud over America. But oh, the outcry over Boxer's temerity in challenging Rice. How dare a senator get in the face of Bush's choice? Indeed, Condi herself fell into a snit, snapping at Boxer, "I really hope that you will refrain from impugning my integrity. Thank you very much." Well, excuse me, Your Highness, but your integrity is precisely the issue. Why should someone who has so enthusiastically lied about a disastrous adventure that has caused thousands of deaths and maimings in Iraq be promoted, especially to a post where her word is essential to U.S. credibility in the world? This is Jim Hightower saying, thank you, Senator Boxer, not only for doing your job, but also for causing some of the other Democrats to grow a backbone.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, the fine legislators of the state of Virginia are keeping us all safe from droopy drawers. I kid you not. One of the folks in the chat room posted this link, and I had missed this. Somehow, well, maybe because it's worthy of missing, but it's, on the other hand, there are some folks who are actually very concerned about this for historical reasons. Let me first of all tell you what the law lays out. The state of Virginia, in their House of Representatives, just passed by a margin of 60-34. What they call the Droopy Drawers Bill, which says that if your pants are hanging low enough that your underwear is visible, you can be hit with a $50 fine. John Reed, a Republican in the Virginia House of Delegates, said, most of us would identify this as the coarsening of society. Underwear is called underwear for a reason. Well, you know, I remember when our one of our kids went through a phase and was very into skateboarding and wearing the droopy drawers. This was a decade ago. I didn't know it was still cool. You know, it's a, and you know, his parents, Louise and I, just kind of gritted our teeth and figured that he would grow out of it. And sure enough, you know, he did. As far as I can tell. But the people who are really concerned about this, here's where their concern comes from. In our Constitution, there are these very specific protections, particularly in the Bill of Rights, particularly in the Fourth Amendment, which says that you are safe from unreasonable search and seizure unless somebody has sworn under oath that there is a probable cause that you've committed a crime and a judge issues a warrant, or a police, and this has been interpreted over the years as a police officer observes what looks like a crime. If they have direct personal observation of what looks like maybe a crime, then they can legally stop you and search you. They have even more latitude on the roads, on the public highways, because you're driving a car. And you drive a car by permission of society. You have to have a license. We regulate the driving of cars more heavily than we regulate the walking down the street, because driving a car is a behavior that you can engage in voluntarily. You don't have to drive the car. That you are pushing around a 3,000 or 4,000 pound piece of machinery, which is capable of killing people. Whereas if you're just walking down the street, you're just walking down the street. And I can tell you, I've been in countries where if you're walking down the street and the authorities don't like the way you look, they just come up and say, hey, let me see your ID. And it's not a pleasant experience. And it's not what most Americans would call freedom. And there are many people within the African-American community in the United States who suggest that there's this whole category of crimes. Actually, a whole lot of people, not just in the African-American community. I am one of them. I would agree that there is a whole category of crimes that it can broadly be referred to as blank while black. Right? Driving while black. I mean, there's particular, you drive through Beverly Hills, you're black, particularly if you're not driving a limousine. I shouldn't just pick on Beverly Hills. There's communities all over the United States where just being black is enough to draw attention. But if you're just walking down the street, the police have no legal ability to stop you or search you or arrest you just because you're black. And according to this article, which was published, of all places, by the BBC. It's on BBC News today. It was updated this afternoon at 12:53 Greenwich Mean Time, which would have been this morning, our time. The headline, fines for droopy drawers backed. U.S. politicians fed up with catching an eye full of underwear want to find those who won't hitch up their trousers. And they go through this whole thing. But then they point out, this Delegate Lionel Spruill, a Democrat, he says, this is going to be a bill that targets blacks. You know who they're going to stop. Because this is a fashion that is far more popular in the African-American community in the United States than it is in the white community. And so now the police will have, if you're simply fashionably dressed, the police will have a legitimate, a legal reason to stop you, ask you questions, say, what's going on? Let's see some ID. Empty your pockets up against the wall. You've committed a crime. It's a $50 fine. We're going to take you down to the police station, take your picture, fingerprint you. What is this country coming to? Those of you who may still have some skepticism about the impact of global warming on the climate, the Washington tree, a giant sequoia, somewhere between 2,500 and 3,200 years old. This tree was bigger than the tree in your backyard, however big that may be. This tree was bigger than that, unless you live in the Redwood Forest, when Jesus was walking around loose. This tree is now dying. The giant sequoia, believed to be the second largest tree in the world, may be dying after suffering damage from heavy snow and high winds, according to officials at California Sequoia National Park. So-called Washington tree once stood more than 254 feet tall, has a circumference of more than 101 feet, ranking it as second behind the General Sherman Sequoia in the same park. Severe weather is taking its toll on this tree. 1-866-889-8894 is our telephone number. TomHartmann.com, the website, if you want to drop into our chat room. I have some information I want to share with you about George W. Bush and asbestos in just a moment. First, let's hear from Ed in California. Hey, Ed, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Well, I wish when you were in California you would have stopped in and visit me in San Juan.
Oh, I would have loved to, Ed. I wish when I was out there, I had 15 minutes to relax.
I could have got you stopped and hassled by the police in Mission Viejo.
Oh, really?
My sons in the last 2 months have been stopped twice, and they're short-haired, respectable-looking. They're both assistant managers. There's nothing. They're 27 and 31. Because they were walking down the street, and the police pulled over. And twice have insisted that they see their identification, where they're going, what they're doing, and why they're in that area, and they live there.
These are white kids?
White kids.
Wow. Is it simply because they weren't driving? Because in California, by law, you have to be driving a car?
Well, no. My sons are into physical activities. They're going to climb Mount Whitney, and they were just walking to exercise and get their legs stretched and on streets in Mission Viejo.
Yeah, but I mean, what was it that that caused them to stand out enough that the cops would stop them? And
just walking down the street.
But don't
they don't smoke? They don't drink.
Well, here's the question, Ed. Do other people walk down the street in Mission Viejo?
From what I gather, but they're also stopping them apparently.
Well, that's interesting. I have to say, you know, walking down the street is a pretty rare thing. My father was in the hospital a while ago in Michigan, and I went to and I was spending like most of the day there at the hospital. And so I wanted to get some exercise, and the hospital is in a suburban area in Lansing. And so I went out and I just went for a walk through the neighborhood. You know, I mean, there's like all this neighborhood that was built like right after World War II. There are these old 1950s houses. And, you know, it's kind of a nice middle class, fairly small homes, but a nice middle class neighborhood. And I walked for an hour and a half and didn't see one single person walking on the street. I saw a lot of people in cars, a lot of people pulling up in driveways, getting out of cars. Never saw another person walking the first day that I was there. The second day, during the lunch hour, or during the evening time, I saw one person who was running with a dog.
I walk every day about an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Yeah, well, it's good exercise.
To get physical exercise. I'm sick.
Yeah, I mean, it's excellent. It's the best exercise you can get.
But I just thought I'd let you know that they're doing this all over for no reason.
Yeah.
And it's not just West Virginia or something else. And these kids are not dressed. They get haircuts every 3 weeks.
Yeah, so
I don't.
What would happen if they just said, you know, we're not going to tell you?
Oh God, I wouldn't want to let my kids do that.
Yeah.
You know, thankfully they're more respectable than I am.
Ed, what kind of country do we live in where you and I are having a conversation about advising our children not to say to the police, "Hey, I'm just minding my own business. It's not against the law."
It's turned the corner. We need to turn it back real quick.
Yeah. I think so. And you know what's ironic, Ed? I think that Ron Paul, the arch-conservative congressman from Texas, would agree with us.
I hope so.
I think Barry Goldwater.
A lot of them.
And Everett Dirksen would have agreed with us. I think that, yeah.
Thanks. I pray that there's a lot of them.
Me too. Thanks a lot, Ed. I do appreciate the call.
Thanks, Tom.
Good to hear from you. It's, well, I guess that was enough said about that. In Bush's State of the Union address, he made a rather outrageous claim. And well, here, let me just share it with you.
Business is the path of...
We'll start over again. I didn't have the pot up here.
Small business is the path of advancement, especially for women and minorities.
Okay, small business is the path of advancement, especially for women and minorities. I agree. It's great. Small business, wonderful. Good thing. Yes, small business. Continue.
So we must free small businesses from needless regulation and protect honest job creators from junk lawsuits. Justice is distorted, and our economy is held back by irresponsible class actions and frivolous asbestos claims. And I urge Congress to pass legal reforms this year.
Our small businesses, which are helping women and minorities, are being harmed by frivolous asbestos claims? The last I looked, the W.R. Grace Company was a $1.5 billion corporation. That's with a B. A federal grand jury here indicted W.R. Grace and Company and seven current and former company officials Monday on charges of conspiring to hide from employees, their families, and the public that ore mine near Libby, Montana, was contaminated with a toxic form of asbestos. The asbestos has been blamed for more than 200 deaths. Junk lawsuits, frivolous lawsuits, George W. 1,200 people associated with the mine or Libby have been diagnosed as suffering some kind of asbestos-related abnormality. Now, don't you get it? It's all about who makes the campaign contributions. You can even get your little issue into the State of the Union address if you give George W. enough money. Of course, the largest company that's dealing with asbestos problems right now is not W.R. Grace. It's Halliburton. 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Attention, Tom Hartman listeners. I'm here with Brush Lintball.
This is the old Brush show, Brush Lintball.
To tell you about DemocraticMatch.com. You're listening to Tom Hartman because you're intelligent, progressive, and like the thousands of members at DemocraticMatch.com, you don't drink right-wing Kool-Aid. Right, Brush?
Right-wing wackos are fine to laugh at on all their radio programs, but no one wants to date one, right?
DemocraticMatch.com is a dating site made specifically for Democrats and other progressive individuals who want to date those with similar worldviews. What do you think of Democrats these days, Brush?
Democrats are smarter. Democrats are more evolved. Democrats are more fun. Democrats make better lovers. Democrats have better hearts.
This is your chance to meet other liberals who listen to Tom Hartman, people who cherish the principles of our democracy, believe in a woman's right to choose, believe in protecting our incredible planet. In short, DemocraticMatch.com gives you the opportunity to meet a real soulmate. So what have you got to lose? Sign up today at DemocraticMatch.com.
And now for a traffic update, we go to Kelly Clark. Kelly, how's it looking out there?
Well, if you've got to get anywhere, I hope you have lots of time. Uh-oh. All northbound lanes at the Taylor Interchange are backed up. Westbound lanes are at a standstill, and the off-ramp near the Martin Building remains closed, causing major headaches.
Not good.
But I do have good news.
What's that, Kelly?
I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Do you have a child with ADHD who is misunderstood, unhappy, and dissatisfied with school? Are you ready for an educational change and for your child to like school again? Consider the Hunter School, a residential K-8 school specializing in the education of children with ADHD, hunters in a farmer's world. Hunter School appreciates and honors the uniqueness of each student while building upon his inherent strengths and abilities. For more information, find us on the web at hunterschool.org.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Oh, yeah! By the way, don't miss our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment tomorrow. It's every Thursday, the second hour of our program. We get into topics you didn't know that you didn't know that you needed to know, things that you needed to know you didn't know you didn't even know you didn't know it. Of course, there was that time in your life when there was nothing you didn't know. It's called the teenage years. I can tell you I've raised three of them, but... Anyhow, tomorrow in our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment, Brooke Kroeger will be joining us to tell us about her book, Passing When People Can't Be Who They Are. She's going to tell us why in real life, true stories, a black person lives as a white person, a gay person pretends they're straight, and working class people pretend and live as though they are privileged. What's all that about? Tune in tomorrow. We will find out, as they say. Let me wrap this thing up with W.R. Grace and Company. W.R. Grace earned a $140 million in tax profits on that mine where the asbestos was coming out of. Monday's indictment alleges the company officials were aware of the health hazards of asbestos but did little beyond attempting to cover it up. Oh, they did something. Yes, there's asbestos there. It can kill people. It'll cause mesothelioma, cause all kinds. Yeah, well, we got to do something here, Ralph. What should we do? I know what we can do. I got an idea. What's your idea, Ralph?
I think we should just cover it up. Let's just cover it up. That'll take care.
Okay, that's what we'll do. Yes, indeed. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer exposed the deaths and contamination in 1999. Well, my math is right. That was 6 years ago. During the years the mine was in operation, vermiculite and other products from the mining process were put on Libby. Libby is the town nearby. Gardens, yards used to provide a foundation for a running track at a junior high school and an elementary school skating rink. As late as 2002, Grace denied there was a problem in a letter to the EPA. Company said, vermiculite poses no risk to human health or the environment, according to the indictment. However, I am reading to you, by the way, from a story by Maurice Posley, a Tribune staff reporter, the Chicago Tribune. The company and its officials knew of the dangers as early as 30 years ago through scientific testing and analysis, through animal studies, epidemiological studies of employees, and other internal investigations, but they had concealed the findings and stymied attempts by others to investigate.
And our economy is held back by irresponsible class actions and frivolous asbestos claims.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it, George. You got it. Absolutely. that frivolous asbestos claims. So they killed a few people. Well, a few hundred. Right there in the factory. I mean, you know, who knows about the... and the town. Who knows about the people who use their products. And, of course, Halliburton is the one, is the company that's having the biggest problem with this. They acquired Dresser Industries, which is in the middle of a huge asbestos lawsuit from people who are dying. Dying! As a result of their exposure to asbestos. And the first article tying asbestos exposure to mesothelioma was published back in the 1930s in American medical journals. I mean, this is the tobacco story all over again. And, of course, you know, one person can't successfully sue worth a hoot. You got to get a whole bunch of people together and have a class action. And, you know, as George would say...
And our economy is held back by irresponsible class actions and frivolous asbestos claims.
Yeah, right there, State of the Union address. Our president wouldn't lie to us, would he? He's telling us the truth. It's a straight-up story. Yep, no problem. You got just trust him. That's the way it is. Anyhow, next I got to tell you about the gay penguins. You're going to love this. You see, homosexuality is something that not only is not abnormal among humans, but is found in virtually every species known. And in the Bremerhaven Zoo over in Germany, they're having a bit of a problem. Well, let me tell you about it right after this. Tom Hartman here with you.
A party at Ed's house. Okay. Will Ed's parents be there? Then the answer is no.
Making sure an adult's there isn't easy.
No, his brother being there isn't the same.
But if you don't, your kid's more likely to do drugs.
No, I don't care if he is old for his age.
Do it. It'll always be worth it. Parents, the anti-drug. To learn more, call 1-800-788-2800 or visit theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for Drug-Free America.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. A union election is set for February 25th at a Walmart tire and auto service store in Loveland, Colorado. The workers there would be the first Walmart workers in the U.S. to unionize if the United Food and Commercial Workers are successful. Norberto Ricardo is the UFCW organizer in Loveland. He believes the workers will win, but he says Walmart is trying to intimidate its workers into not joining unions. Ricardo says it's important to organize Walmart because it pays very low wages, doesn't provide adequate benefits, and drags down wages of other companies. He would like to see workers exercise their rights to organize without fear.
I would like for all these employees from Walmart to reunite together and not to be afraid and leave the fear somewhere else and go forward with the process to organize and become one union.
Federal employees from the Department of Defense marched on Capitol Hill yesterday in protest of a proposed personnel regulation overhaul. American Federation of Government Employees President John Sweeney told the hundreds of rallying employees that the National Security Personnel System will jeopardize public safety and national security by taking away employee protections that allow workers to speak freely when they see wrongdoing or mismanagement. The AFGE and other unions representing government employees are planning to file a lawsuit. The decision to implement similar changes at the Department of Homeland Security has already led to one lawsuit, saying that the changes undermine the constitutional right of due process. AFGE General Counsel Mark Roth said of the DHS changes in a press release that managers will have free rein to retaliate against employees who challenge management decisions.
New York City's Hudson Yards development has the potential to create thousands of jobs, many of them union jobs, so a coalition of labor and business groups is supporting it. There's opposition, though, from city community groups. Jim Whalen is head of the Hudson Yards Coalition, a labor-led group supporting the development.
What the Hudson Yards plan really represents is a long-term plan that is going to create hundreds of thousands of jobs for New Yorkers on all income levels.
Critics of the development and the sports stadium for the Jets that comes with it say the development is too dense and will cost the city more than $3 billion with an adverse impact on the West Side. Whalen, though, says the stadium and the union jobs it creates is good for New York.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Union membership dropped slightly in 2004. New numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics say that union membership dropped to 12.5% of all workers nationwide. The biggest drops were in Alaska, Illinois, and Missouri, with the major gains being in New York and Minnesota. Almost half of all union membership is concentrated in six states: California, New York, Michigan, Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
By irresponsible class actions and frivolous asbestos claims. And I urge Congress to pass legal reforms this year.
A madman. Absolutely off the edge. Off the edge. Okay, I gotta let that one go. I gotta let it go. Welcome back, my friends. 26 minutes before the hour. Spot right there. 26, actually, 5 seconds fast here. We got a 5 second delay. Anyhow, welcome back. A German zoo has imported 4 female penguins from Sweden in an attempt to tempt its gay penguins to go straight. It ain't working, by the way. The 4 Swedish females were dispatched to Bremerhaven Zoo in Bremen after it was found that 3 of the zoo's 5 penguin pairs were gay. Apparently, you know, like with a lot of birds, we used to have a parrot. Louise had a parrot for a few years, and we were traveling so much when we had this parrot that it bonded with Tammy, who was the woman who worked with us. She kind of ran our office and was in the house when we were gone and all that kind of stuff. And the bird thought Tammy was its person, and so Tammy has the bird now, because they live like 50 years or something, you know. But in any case, we always wondered whether this bird was male or female, because it's not so obvious. You actually have to take them to a vet, and they've got to like do this some kind of surgical procedure to figure it out. Apparently, that's true of penguins as well, because this zoo had five. Pairs of penguins. Turns out 3 of these pairs of penguins were 2 guys. Keepers at the zoo ordered DNA tests to be carried out on the penguins after they had been mating for years without producing any chicks. It was only then that they realized that 6 of the birds were living in gay relationships. So the zoo would like to have some baby penguins. I mean, this is just something that zoos, you know, got nothing to do with the moral majority. It has to do with, you know, 5 years from now, we want there to still be some penguins there. And she said that this is Heike Kueck, the director of the zoo. She said that the birds have been mating for years, and one couple even adopted a stone that they protected like an egg. So they have brought these new 3 new female penguins in from Sweden. But the existing penguins don't seem to be all that interested. So, introducing the Bremerhaven penguins, their new Swedish friends, may not be as successful as hoped after earlier experiments revealed great difficulties in separating the homosexual couples. This according to this news story. So Kueck says, in case they showed no interest, the zoo has also flown in 2 straight male penguins, quote, so the ladies don't miss out altogether, end quote. So I think it's sweet. I think it's sweet. It's just another reminder that there are biological differences between straight and gay people, there's just a pile of evidence about this, that it is genetic. In fact, in humans, it seems to travel down the mother's bloodline. And this is not, as Jerry Falwell would say,
a lifestyle choice.
There are differences. And that doesn't mean good or bad. It just means different. You know, when my dad was a kid, if you were left-handed, they would tie your left arm to your body in school. 400 years ago, if you were left-handed, they would put you to death. in much of Europe. It was a sign of demonic possession for a child to be left-handed. We have a long history in our society of thinking that different means bad. And slowly, the same thing with African Americans, the same thing with, well, the Japanese during World War II, women, you know, for years in the United States, slowly we're figuring out sometimes different just means different. And you can even learn from that, and you can honor it.
Oh, my God, Marty sounds like a liberal.
Yes, yes, well, speaking of gays, or maybe gays, John Byrne called up Ken Melman, the head of the Republican National Committee, a 38-year-old single man around whom rumors have been swirling for some time. He says, when I asked if he was gay last week, Melman hung up the phone. Well, I'm not somebody who thinks that outing gay folks who don't want to be outed is a good thing. I'm not one of those radical outers. However, I think people should be entitled to their privacy, whether it's whatever it may be. However, when somebody makes a good chunk of their career bashing gay people and they themselves then refuse to discuss their own sexuality. Well, here, let me just share with you this story. This is from the americablog.org by John Aravosis and friends. Tuesday, February 8th. GOP head Ken Melman again uses gays to bash Democrats. Ken Melman, the head of the Republican National Committee, again resort. He replaced the former Enron lobbyist, you'll recall, who was the previous head of the Republican National Committee. Anyhow, Ken Melman, the head of the Republican National Committee, again resorted yesterday to gay-baiting Democrats for political gain in an RNC press release intended to discredit Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid. Melman's RNC made clear that the simple fact that a gay civil rights group endorsed Reid for re-election means that Reid is not fit for national service. Melman also had the RNC bash Reid for not supporting the federal gay bashing amendment to the Constitution. First time, to the best of my knowledge, that we have tried to write discrimination into the Constitution. The whole point of the Constitution is to keep discrimination out. Melman, 38 years of age and single, is now insisting on only answering reporters' questions about his own sexual orientation off the record. Notes John Aravosis, let's say. Off the record. Kind of an odd position, he says, for a man running an organization that thinks gay issues are fair game. In fact, I suggest if you have any lingering curiosity that you plug Ken Melman, M-E-H-L-M-A-N, in quotes, and gay into Google. Again, as I said, I have no problem with people being gay. Members of my family are gay. One of my favorite uncles when I was growing up was gay. And other members of my family as well. And it's starting to sound like some of my best friends are black right now. I don't mean it that way. In my mind, this is just another part of us. But when somebody is making big bucks going around trashing people for being part of us, and it turns out they may have a few skeletons in their own closet, no pun intended, I think they're fair game. Speaking of fair game, Adelphia is now offering hardcore adult films on a pay-per-view basis to its subscribers. Now, that in and of itself, I suppose, isn't big news. The fact of the matter is that hotels in America, the large hotel chains in America, would, at this point in time, not be profitable if they did not offer pornography on a pay-per-view basis. About half of all people who check into hotels in the United States watch a pornographic movie at least one night during their stay. And they, you know, they wouldn't be profitable if they didn't, if they weren't hustling pornography. The real smut peddlers in the United States, they make Larry Flint look like a piker. Our Marriott and Hilton and now Adelphia. Viewers can watch this from an article. This by ABC News actually published this article. ABCnews.com or .go.com. An article by Jake Taper and Avery Miller. Now, why am I making a big deal about this, you would say?
Isn't he a liberal? Doesn't he mind what people watch?
No, actually, I don't mind what people watch as long as they're adults. And that, that doesn't make me a liberal. The libertarians agree with that. In fact, they're more outspoken about it probably than most liberals are, and they're extremely conservative. But to go back to Barry Goldwater, he said there should not be any laws against any kind of activity between consenting adults. But that's a whole other talk. Anyhow, while the court, here's where the story gets weird. Viewers can watch such sexually explicit movies in the Hilton and Marriott hotel chains on video services like LodgeNet or On Command, which is owned by Liberty Media, formerly a part of AT&T, at home via DirecTV, which is owned by Rupert Murdoch's News Corp, or via virtually every cable company, including Cox, Time Warner, and Comcast, except Adelphia. Adelphia is now doing it. While the corporations generate millions in profit from providing adult content, their political contributions are often given to those elected, in no small part, because of their stance on so-called moral values. For example, Comcast Cable, they make big bucks off pornography, has given millions in political donations since 1998. The National Republican Party committees are its biggest organizational recipient, with donations totaling well over $750,000. $851,000 to be exact. President Bush is its biggest individual recipient with $109,000 in donations. Adelphia, now they're selling porn. They gave $166,000 to Republican committees, $12,000 to Senator Rick Santorum. Senator Santorum, by the way, let me warn you in advance. He's the Dominionist. He's the guy who is going to, in my opinion, the greatest threat to liberty in the United States right now, on the horizon, is represented by Senator Rick Santorum. You just watch. Somebody quote that back to me in 5 years. We'll see where it goes. And, of course, now telling us the news, we have Brian Williams of NBC. He has replaced Tom Brokaw. Tom Brokaw, man, I have a lot of respect for Tom Brokaw. Paul Bedard's, this from Media Matters for America, Paul Bedard's Washington Whispers column in the February 14 edition of U.S. News and World Report noted that Brian Williams, who replaced Tom Brokaw as anchor and managing editor of NBC's Nightly News back on December 2nd, received accolades from discredited Republican pollster Frank Luntz in a memo to congressional Republican leadership. In the memo, Bedard reported, Luntz wrote, quote, Williams has emerged as the go-to network anchor because of its brains and lack of detectable ideological bias. Now, how do you know that somebody has no ideological bias? Well, apparently here's how the Republicans know that. In an interview following President Bush's February 2nd State of the Union address, Brian Williams failed to correct Senator John McCain's false assertion that the Social Security Trust Fund will, quote, have no money at all left in 15 years, end quote. He didn't say, excuse me, Senator, I think you misspoke. On January 12th, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting noted that an NBC Nightly News segment on Social Security ignored privatization critics and presented a conservative activist as an impartial analyst. In a December 2nd, 2004 interview with C-SPAN founder, president, and CEO Brian Lamb, Williams, now the voice of NBC News, Brian Williams. Brian Williams said, and I quote, "It's my duty to listen to Rush Limbaugh. Rush has actually yet to get the credit he is due." End quote. Before his promotion, Williams hosted several other NBC News programs, including The News with Brian Williams on MSNBC and CNBC, where Limbaugh was a frequent guest. On September 24th, 2002, Williams introduced a news segment on a speech by former Vice President Al Gore by observing, quote, "Our friend Rush Limbaugh told his radio listeners he almost stayed home from work, not due to any health reasons, but because he was so livid at the speech given yesterday by former Vice President Al Gore criticizing the Bush administration's apparent march to war in Iraq," end quote. Oh, isn't that tragic? Rush Limbaugh almost stayed home from work because he was so upset that Al Gore criticized George Bush, and Brian Williams thought this was a news story and shared it with us all on September 24, 2002. In a fact-check segment following the October 8, 2004 presidential debate, Williams implied that Senator John Kerry's assertion that the U.S. economy had lost 1.6 million jobs under Bush was deceptive. Why? Brian Williams falsely claiming that Kerry's use of, quote, private sector jobs, end quote, numbers applies to, quote, just one category of jobs, end quote. Well, yeah, just one category. All jobs except people who work for the government. And when the country goes into a recession, you know, the government doesn't start laying off right away. So you want to know if you got a recession or not, you look at all jobs except government jobs, which is what Kerry was doing. Brian Williams saying, that's just one category. You can't trust that, John Kerry. Well, he didn't say that. I'm saying that. I'm saying that that's what he was implying. Got to be careful to always tell the truth here. To the extent it is absolutely possible. Talk radio for the rest of us. I'm Tom Hartman.
The following phone call was not recorded on February 30th, 2004.
Thank you for calling about DirecTV. My name is Lynn. How can I help you?
Thank you, sir. Thank goodness you're there. You've got to help me. My cable company is raising their rates again. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's okay, ma'am. I'm here to help. I'm glad you called.
They're taking away our favorite channels and charging more. It's just wrong.
Ma'am, I get that all the time. Let me help you right away. Would you like to get over 125 channels of your favorite programming for only $39.99?
Will I still be able to get my local channels?
Absolutely. And because you called American Satellite right now, you can get up to a four-room DirecTV system for free and free professional installation for all new customers with an annual programming commitment.
Oh, thank you. My husband, Nick, is going to be so happy.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-505-1542. That's 800-505-1542. Call now and ask how you can get total choice for only $29.99 a month for the first 6 months. A $60 value. 800-505-1542. At $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends July 17, 2004. Call now.
Real novelists don't go to graduate school, they go to prison. Mike Palasek is one of America's newest, most exciting political storytellers. Palasek is a former federal prisoner for peace, county commissioner, city jail prisoner, Iowa Democratic Party candidate for Congress, football co-captain, small-town newspaper reporter, and bakery delivery truck driver. Check out www.iowapeace.com for Mike's books and read his weekly column, Is This Heaven? The View from Iowa. Go to iowapeace.com for ordering information for Twins, Joe Coffey's Revolution, KGB, The Truth, The Last Liberal Outlaw, and Prophets Without Honor. Palasek's books are recommended by Howard Zinn, Danny Schechter, BlueEar.com, The Des Moines Register, and Prisoners Everywhere.
America's most famous naturalist compromised his broad view of wilderness to obtain a narrow set of goals, according to a Kansas historian. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. John Muir has been called a wilderness prophet, but historian Donald Worster says the naturalists' fight to save places like Yosemite diverted his passion for all wilderness into protecting select natural wonders.
It narrowed and focused on the national parks as the place to go find nature, and particularly the greatest, most beautiful places like the Grand Canyon, Yosemite, Yellowstone. Increasingly, those became, for him, nature. And what lay outside those places was less and less interesting to him.
Worster is an environmental historian at the University of Kansas. He says rich, influential friends, people like Teddy Roosevelt and railroad tycoon Edward Harriman, helped Muir save Yosemite, but he says they also compromised the Scottish immigrants' ideals.
In a way, he became compromised by the wonderful linen sheets that he liked to sleep on in these people's houses, the little boutonniere they brought him in the morning. He became their kind of pet. And they would trot John Muir out and say, now tell us some wonderful stories about dogs and birds in your Scottish brogue. And he would light up and do what he was supposed to do.
Muir eventually helped create the National Park Service and founded the Sierra Club. But Worster says Muir seemed blind to the world outside the parks.
He would rail against greedy people trying to destroy Yosemite National Park. But he didn't really connect that up to the economic system, and it was driving environmental change, much of it very destructive, across the entire continent.
In spite of his shortcomings, Muir's legacy is seen by millions of people who visit the national parks each year. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those nads in Tiananmen Square.
Ah, yes, democracy is coming to the United States of America. It will be if enough of us get out, get active, get organized, and vote in 2006 and raise absolute bloody noise between now and then. Share the reality of what's going on with as many people as possible. Speaking of which, Harriet, a little noise here, Harriet. Harriet in Seattle, Washington, with an update on what's going on in the craziness there. I guess the Republicans have decided that if there's election fraud in Ohio or Florida, it's just fine. But if it happens in Washington State, they are not going to tolerate it.
Well, not only is it fine anywhere else, but it also would have been fine if Rossi had been the one to win. Everything would have been totally ignored.
Yeah.
But the outcome of the lawsuit held in Chelan County is that the judge ruled there will be no revote.
Oh, when was this ruling?
Last week.
Ah, okay.
But there will be, he will allow the rest of the lawsuit to go forward, which is all the charges of fraud and this sort of thing. And a potential outcome for that is that the election can be ruled null and void and be reheld in November. That's one outcome.
Interesting.
And another one being that the judge would appoint Rossi as governor. Now, he said he won't do that. And then he said he would, and then he said he wouldn't.
Does this say judge appointed by a Republican?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Actually, I don't know. Over in Chelan County, I'm not sure. It's over in eastern Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
But so that's where it sits now. And they're claiming like 154 felons voted, you know, illegally and a whole bunch of dead people. Somebody was telling me yesterday that of the dead people who voted for dead people,
mm-hmm.
the majority of them voted for Rossi. So that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
And it still gets back to the bottom line that had Rossi won by his 42 votes, none of this ever would have come out.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too, is there are two guys who have brought a lawsuit. No, it's not really a lawsuit. They brought charges for a recall of the Secretary of State, Sam Reed.
Who is a Democrat, by any chance?
He is a Republican.
Oh, interesting.
And they're trying to charge him with malfeasance and failure to perform his duty because he certified Gregoire.
Oh, because he didn't put the Republican, he didn't do what Ken Blackwell did in Ohio and say, no, everything's fine, the Republicans are in charge.
You
remarkable.
Got it.
Okay, Harriet, thanks a lot for the report. Great to hear
from
you.
We'll keep you posted.
Okay, I appreciate it. Armin in Sarasota, you got the last minute or so here of the show. Armin, what's up?
I think Bush is the
worst point man that the crime families could put out there and try to steal Social Security with, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
How many people, what percent of the population that's now receiving Social Security has made even remotely close the profits that the Bush family has made off the government?
Well, off the government, probably a thousandth of 1% or something. Yeah, very, very few. Your point?
Pardon?
What's your point?
Well, my point is this guy is like a total hypocrite.
Oh, he's making money with the baseball team, you know, eminent domain and all that kind of stuff.
Everything with this family. They've used the government. I mean, the government's probably 90% of their wealth generation.
Yeah, or a good chunk of it. I mean, they're in the Carlyle Group. They're in the all the defense industry stuff. You're right. They own all these weapons manufacturers and they sell to the government. And before that, the grandfather was in the banking. Well, yeah, okay. Interesting observation, Armin. Thank you. Have a great day, and do call again. I do appreciate it. Ah, me. Another day. Another dollar? Is that the expression? Anyhow, another day passed. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Tom Hartman here with you. Right in the middle of the vast, radical middle conspiracy.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
This is Vivionik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the